Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, liberty-loving patriot. Welcome to the Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne Show. Please be sure to tune in Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. Be prepared, folks. We often go into an optional extended third hour. This show advocates for liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Discussions here are unscripted and free-flowing, so sometimes conversations wander off in unpredictable directions. Would you like to call in and share your thoughts and be part of the conversation? The number is 563-999-3698. Again, that is 563-999-3698. Press number 1 and you'll be added to the queue. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you so much for listening, but please sit tight and don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a few minutes to kick off the show.
Imagine waking up in a trunk. What is grooming? What if I told you we had a 40% increase of human and sex trafficking in our country due to COVID lockdowns? We already had high numbers to begin with. One's Purpose is an amazing organization pounding the pavement every day helping these survivors get help. Unfortunately, they do not have the funding they need for a safe house. In the state of Oregon, we have zero safe houses for these survivors who have endured the most heinous of crimes. The time is now to get involved. The time is now to help stop human trafficking. Please go to onespurpose.com to get involved. If you need help and if you know someone who needs to get help, please contact 541-221-3448. Make a donation. Make a difference.
NWCR Radio has been on the air since 2006 and with Conservative Nation Media since 2013. Now, NWCR continues as the owner of CNM with the news that the lamestream lying liberal media chooses not to tell you because the truth has nothing to do with the agenda that they are all pushing. We will tell the truth no matter what the liberal left has to say about it or what the truth is. Being banned off of YouTube for telling the truth with my updates and off of Facebook several times, we have our badges of honor that we keep pushing the envelope for on our show. My co-host, Lucid Libertarian Lorianne, and I, along with my band of callers, have great shows with great information for America on each episode. We are NWCR Radio, Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio through Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins.
And love, where they burn your business down.
Texas. They'll call you a racist, a transphobe, a bigot. And if you don't bend the knee and toe the party line, they'll try to cancel you.
Let's make a stand. What you gonna do when it all burns down?
Let's lend a hand.
it all burns down.
Hello, hello, hello. You are tuned in to the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show. Thank everybody for making their way here tonight. We already have the chat room with the usual gang, most of the usual gang, I guess. We got Robert, Conservative Nation Media, in the chat room and also on the switchboard hanging back listening. We got Gunslinger also in the chat room and in the switchboard. We got Joe Gibson hanging out in the chat room. We got Boyd the Alaskan hanging out in the chat room. We got Mike in the chat room. And so, yeah, good to see everybody filing their way in. Of course, the first song that I played to intro the show is from Faithless Town called Woke Town. Hope y'all like that song. Follow Faithless Town on YouTube, and you can check out some of their other tunes. And then, of course, it's been quite a while since I've played anything Dolly Parton, and I thought that especially World on Fire, throw that in there as well. Both songs are totally appropriate in this day and age, I think. So, yeah, lots of stuff to cover this week. And we can start out with the, we'll probably talk about this maybe, but it happened a few days ago. The memes that are going around about the police officer that went completely haywire because an acorn fell on the top of his roof of his vehicle, and he mistook that for gunshots, and so he unloads his full magazine on the ground. He's rolling around, and then he's saying that he's I'm hit. I think I'm hit. And all this because of a fucking acorn. And then the other part of the story is they already had the guy that was in the vehicle, so he was already searched, and he was handcuffed, and so he was restrained in the back of the vehicle, and miraculously, the guy did not get shot. It's just, the video has gone viral. And like I said, the memes are hilarious coming out about this. What an embarrassment. But then I got to feel, even though, okay, the guy that was apprehended was apparently not that a great guy, okay? I mean, I'll admit that, right? It doesn't sound like the guy was an upstanding individual. But nevertheless, I can't help but feel empathetic for him because, imagine yourself, you're arrested, you're restrained, you're handcuffed, and the officer just opened fires on the back of the vehicle. And then not only that, but then his partner also starts shooting at the vehicle. And, are you okay? Are you okay? I think I'm hit. I don't know. I feel weird. I think it just hit my vest. Like, oh, my God. It's absolute insanity. But just imagine being in the back seat of that vehicle. And trying to, trying to duck and cover as best you can in the back. Wow. Anyway, so that's just going all over the place. And then, let's see, in other news to try to cover, lots of stuff, of course. Appeals court rules that not wearing a mask during the COVID-19 health emergency isn't a free speech right. So it's not a free speech right, then what is it? The courts and everybody seems to just be lining up for the next thing, whatever that next thing is. We think that mask mandates are a thing of the past, the pandemic's over. No.
it doesn't seem like the courts, it doesn't seem like anybody wants to do anything to preserve our right to not wear a face diaper. And they don't want to impose on the future ability of government to mandate that kind of thing again. And who knows what else they'll throw into the mix the next time something happens that they declare a health emergency. Who knows what they want to implement in our government. Certainly nobody in our government, our checks and balances are failing when it comes to these health emergencies. Then also, I saw an article, within the next decade, it is estimated that 84% of federal spending growth will come from health care, Social Security, and, of course, interest payments. With the higher interest rates, of course, I don't think we're going to see it go back down to as low as it was prior to the last year and a half or so. I don't think it's going to come down anytime soon, anywhere close to that. It'll come down somewhat. But, you know, that interest adds up. And so that's huge. Then additionally, I saw another funeral home in Colorado. What is going on with funeral home directors in Colorado lately? Because this is another one. A woman's corpse and 30 cremated remains were found after an ex-funeral home owner got evicted from the house. And some of these cremated remains, from what I read in the story, we can get into it later if we want. Remind me, I can pull up the article and we can get into details. But apparently, a lot of these cremated remains were there for, like, from people that died, like, years ago. So these are cremated remains that were never given to the families and stuff. I mean, like, what is going on? You know, and I know I talked about a similar story, too. So what is going on in Colorado with these funeral homes? Like, it kind of makes you wonder, you know, what the heck, you know? I don't know, man. I don't know what to think about that. In other news, congressional watchdog, again, is unable to determine if the U.S. financial statements are reliable. So apparently, the congressional watchdog, or apparently a accountability office, all of the financial statements that the various government departments are supplying are being found to be, let's say, less than reliable, not very accurate. So it makes it very hard, you know, even harder to try and, you know, hold our government accountable for the money that it's spending, right? What do we do about that? I don't know. But that's not good news, you know. So basically, our government cannot even trust what other people in our own government supply in their financial statements to be accurate. Then in other news, SpaceX launches a classified USSF 124 satellite on a secret Valentine's Day mission for the U.S. Air Force. And coincidentally, at the same time, the news comes out that the White House this week confirmed that Russia has obtained an emerging anti-satellite weapon. So these two things come out at the same time. Coincidence? I don't know. Of course, they're saying, Russia says that this anti-satellite weapon can't directly cause physical destruction on Earth, you know. But if satellites, then that would definitely be a disruption here down on Earth when it comes to communications and defense capabilities and the ability to get emergency messages out quickly to people. But it's okay because it's not direct, right? It's indirect. Okay, we're supposed to feel better about that. But it also makes me kind of wonder, like, you know, when Elon Musk with SpaceX, you know, SpaceX is supposed to be private and everything, but if it's doing classified launches and things like that for the government, are they really a private company at that point if they're basically a right arm for the government? I'm kind of thinking not. So I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know if you're a big Elon Musk fan or a SpaceX fan, but that kind of perked my interest in a few red flags there. Then in other news, in Bidenomics, the latest in Bidenomics, the economy is doing so well that Nike, which is based right here in Oregon, it is going to lay off 2% of its global workforce, which doesn't sound like much, but that equates to thousands of jobs. I think I saw the like 2,600 jobs or something, or like 1,600 jobs just here in the U.S., something like that. I could be wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. But 2% is not a small amount for a large company like Nike. So, yeah. So, hey, Biden, while you're on the campaign trail, while you're bragging about how great the economy is, while under your watch, you know, explain that to me, because of course we know that there's been a lot of tech companies. I mean, everybody's laying people off. I mean, all these companies, one after another, if you look, they're laying off people of their workforces, you know, all across the board. And this is something that I talked about, I think even like last summer. I was saying, you know, 2024, first quarter of 2024 doesn't look good as far as jobs go. That I was saying that it looks like everything's being lined up for a lot of layoffs. And here we go. You know, I wish I was not right about that prediction, but here we are. And then, of course, there's a few other things. A story that just came out today that's kind of close to my former home, and I shared it, you know, in Facebook chat. I'm sure some of you have seen it, but in Burnsville, Minnesota, which Burnsville is a suburb of Minneapolis, it's a rather nice suburb, or, you know, overall, and that's right next to where I grew up. In my teenage years, I graduated in the town right next to it, right? So it hits a little bit close to home, where two officers and a paramedic were shot and killed when they were responding to a domestic violence call. Apparently, the man barricaded his wife and his seven children inside of the house. And there was a standoff. He was eventually killed. And it's just really sad news. Like, you know, this kind of stuff happening in a suburb like that, you know, and this is not like the area of Burnsville either. In the video, I mean, these are nice houses. You know, this is a nice neighborhood. I mean, this is a neighborhood that has, you know, big backyards and, you know, and good-sized houses and stuff, and so, you know, it's not an area that's known to be a slum or anything, you know. So this is really kind of sad news for me to hear today. So in Minnesota, they are having their wave of their flags waving at half-mast in mourning of those two officers. Those two officers were only 27 years old. The paramedic is also sad. I mean, when you're a paramedic, you know, you're there to help people. You know what I mean? Paramedics aren't typically armed. They're there to, you know, help people, to, you know, get them medical attention and stuff. So it particularly saddens me when it's a paramedic that gets killed in the process of trying to do their job. I mean, when you're in law enforcement, you know that you're taking that risk. You know that you're going to be in the line of fire. That's part of the job. And, you know, for paramedics, not so much, you know. So anyway, my heart goes out to the family. I mean, we get there are seven children now who lost their father in all of this. You know, what a hellish day. You know, this guy's wife and children I mean, imagine the horror, you know, of this whole situation. It just, my heart goes out to them. I can't imagine. I mean, these poor kids are going to be scarred for life. This is not a good situation. So anyway, I wanted to talk about that a little bit anyway and mention that because, of course, it hits a little bit close to home, or at least close to my former home. So I have a little bit of a personal feeling about that story. And it looks like we got a couple people already raising their hand in the queue here. And so there is another thing that I'm hoping that Sarge and Pianki might call in to talk about. Maybe some of you others know a little bit more about this. I meant to do a little more research on this, but I did want to get into it a bit. The Air Force, I heard this came out here in Oregon. Air Force releases aluminum-coated glass fibers over Oregon. This story, actually, I really do want to get into it, and I can pull up an article and stuff like that, but this, to me, raises some red flags in my mind, because they're worried about the environmental impact, and I'm like, well, what about the human impact? You know what I mean? Like, if this crap is raining down from the sky on us, and you're worried about the environment, and you're worried about, you know, the plants and the birds and the critters, what about the human impact? I mean, if we're talking environment, aren't human beings included in that too? So I do want to try to get into that and get into more detail on that story as well. I could pull that up. But for now, since we got a couple people raising their hand, I do believe we got Mike and Joe Gibson raising their hand here. So I'm going to go ahead and bring you guys on. And anybody else, feel free to call in and press 1 to raise your hand, and I'll be happy to bring you on in, too, for the conversation. Hello, hello.
Hi, guys.
Yeah.
I may not sound well, but I'm getting better. I've had the old whatever flu or whatever and whatever it was at the time, and now I'm a little bit better, but not – you know, if I go off on a coughing spell, I'll go off on a coughing spell, you know, whatever, you know. So anyway, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, there's something going around. My mom is feeling like she's coming down with something, too. There's something definitely going around. And my mom is in Georgia, and she thinks it might be allergies or something. She's like, I feel like I'm coming down with something. I don't know what, but it could be allergies. And I guess the pollen count's up pretty high and stuff like that, so that might be part of it too. But I hope you feel better.
Remember the little critter didn't see his shadow. So obviously we're going to have early spring this year, and early spring equals pollen equals allergies. You know, just ask Gunslinger about that when he decides to raise his hand and call in. You know, so that.
Oh, but
that. You're right
he
about
here?
That.
Didn't you hear that because of climate change, little critter Phil isn't able to accurately predict whether or not it's going to be a long winter or an early spring anymore because of climate change. So you can't depend on Mr. Phil anymore.
Well, excuse me.
And I'm going to go ahead and bring Gunslinger on. Apparently, you mentioned his name, so he's raising his hand. So, go ahead and bring him on in.
Yep. There I am. It's spring because my nose is itching and I'm sneezing. So, it's spring. Early spring.
Yep.
Always does that.
Not so much here in Oregon. It's been kind of the usual rain. Like, it was like the forecast was supposed to be, like, we're supposed to get, like, 4 or 5 days of, you know, some actual sun and a break in the rain. And so I was wanting to actually go out and, like, mow my lawn. But because of all the rain, you know, I need at least, like, 3 days or so of dry weather, because otherwise it's just, you know, muddy. You know, I'm just flopping around in the mud, basically. And, you know, of course, then mowing the lawn when everything's so wet like that, it's five times more work. And so I was like, oh, yay, we're going to get, like, you know, 5 dry days, right? And nope, that changed. You know, we only got, like, 2. And now the rain's back, and it's still cold. We got some fresh powder up in the mountains and stuff. So it doesn't sound like I'm going to be experiencing allergies and pollen or anything for a while anytime soon, because there's no end in sight here. But I know where you guys are at, that's probably a different story.
Well, down here, you know, January and February is the coldest months of the entire year, okay? We don't have too much winter. We have very little snow, if you know. So, yeah, it's you know, spring's right around the corner. You know, March is, you know, well, March 20th is officially spring, and the leaves are already coming from the trees. So, yeah, it's early spring, all right. Love it. Can't stand the cold.
Good times. Yeah, and there was that pit bull story, too, in California.
You mentioned that thing about they're spreading this glass stuff in the air, right? Earlier,
I do want to get into that in a little more detail, because I don't know a whole lot about it, but I thought maybe some of you guys might. Once we get into it.
Well, you mentioned that, but here's the deal. You live in Oregon. Oregon's got the three sisters and the husband and all that stuff and the big caldera and stuff like that. And if those things go up, what's going to happen? You guys throw up a bunch of ash and possibly other things in the air, and it's going to do whatever it's going to do. And yeah, they may have this other stuff in the air, but what's worse, that or, you know, an erupting volcano? You know,
well, you know, here's a scoop on that. I've studied this for freaking years. There's what you call contrails and there's chemtrails. Big difference. Okay. You see them go do the checkerboard pattern in the sky. I'm sure we've all seen it by now, okay? Unless you're blind, look it up once in a while, and look at those patterns up there. You see these trails that don't disappear. Contrails disappear because they're up there 50,000-60,000 feet, okay? And that's just, and the only reason those things are there is because that super cold air up there going through them jet engines, okay, produces a moisture trail, but it evaporates just within a few minutes, right? These things stick around. I've sat outside here, and I've just watched them just drift over, and I'm going, holy Toledo, what the hell are they up to? And it's, you can see the pattern. It is a pattern. It's not just random, okay? There is a checkerboard pattern. So what are they spraying? Why? Nobody knows. You go call your local airport and say, "Hey, they're silent." Oh, we don't have any planes, but you clearly see it with your own two eyes. Yeah, that's a plane. So who's doing it? So the only person that could be doing it is the government, because they're the only ones that have that kind of aircraft and technology and money. But the question is, why? That's a $64,000 question. Yeah, I'd like to have answers. At least.
Yeah, so let me read this article. I did put this article in the chat. So here's what perked my interest in this. Okay, so Air Force releases aluminum-coated glass fibers over Oregon. In Oregon's Owyhee Canyonlands, where the air is crisp and the land echoes with the whispers of the Oregon wilderness, a new and different kind of thunder rumbles. when F-15 fighter jets tear through the skies and leaves behind a trail of pollution, it disturbs not just the harmonious melody of nature, but also the environmental balance. Beneath the wings of these machines, a lesser-known menace spreads, military shaft, C-H-A-F-F. And this is where I'm hoping that maybe Sarge and some of you others might know a little bit more about this stuff, military shaft. As the cloud of aluminum-coated glass fibers settles over pristine landscapes, it brings with it a host of ecological challenges. Radio frequency chaff is an electronic countermeasure designed to reflect radar waves and obscure planes, ships, and other assets from radar tracking sources. This chaff consists of aluminum-coated glass fibers ranging in lengths from 0.8 to 0.75 centimeters, according to a research article written by Captain Daryl P. Arston, a research biochemist at the Naval Health Research Center Detachment. Chaff are millions of dipoles, which are pairs of opposite electric charges. When released from military vehicles, these dipoles create a dispersed cloud that is invisible to the human eye. This cloud then scatters electromagnetic signals, making it difficult for radar systems to accurately detect and track targets. Chaff is a very light material that can remain suspended in the air anywhere from 10 minutes to 10 hours. It can also travel considerable distances from its release point, depending on prevailing atmospheric conditions, according to Arston's research. We are very concerned about the negative impact that all of this expelled garbage will have on public lands, wildlife, and communities, and especially water quality, stated Mark Salvo, program director of the Oregon Natural Desert Association. The stakes are high, with potential threats looming over the delicate balance of ecosystems in the Owyhee Canyon lands. The United States government, and listen to this, the United States government estimates an annual release of at least 500 tons of military chaff as the Air Force intensifies its jet fighter training over the Owyhee Canyonlands. This expansion, however, comes with a heavy cost to the environment. The roar of the F-15 fighter jets flying as low as 100 feet above the ground disturbs the natural rhythm of the landscape, scattering sage grouse and panicking bighorn sheep and unsettling local communities that rely on this land. Chaff and flares include pollutants that could degrade desert waters, kill fish and other aquatic life, and compromise riverine systems. This raises a poignant question. Are we sacrificing environmental integrity in pursuing military readiness? In Southeast Oregon, military drills cause potential environmental damage beyond just chaff. A string of wildfires, all attributed to human activity, prompted federal and state agencies to investigate possible links to military training exercises. The Oregon Department of Forestry found a remnant of a military flare at one of its fire sites. The Oregon National Guard, responsible for using flares in self-defense training exercises, are facing allegations that investigators connect the dots between military flares and wildfire incidences. The Oregon Public Broadcast details an investigation into flare calls to wildfires, revealing a concentrated effort by federal and state agencies to understand the cause. While skepticism lingers within military circles, discovering a military flare remnant at a burn site has fueled suspicions. So this article goes on quite readily, but, you know, when I was reading that article, that part about 500 tons of this military chaff being released into the air annually, you know, that's like, wow, you know, and it hovers in the air. You can't see it. Are we, you know, and it can linger in the air. The winds can blow it around. I mean, are we breathing stuff in? Are we eating this stuff when we're, you know, with our fruits and vegetables? Can this shit even get, like, rinsed off? I mean, I just don't know much about this stuff. And so it's like, and then aluminum, you know, and we all, if any of you have ever read anything about aluminum, it can spike your hormones, you know, it's like, whoa, you know. Yeah, so I'm definitely, let's see who we got on the line. I was reading that. I'm bringing on a Skype number, which could be Sarge. I'm hoping that it is. Do we got Sarge on the line here?
Boy, I'm telling you, you really are fresh, aren't you?
I'm really am what?
Prescient. Not pregnant, prescient.
Okay, I was going to say, I was thinking, I was like, pregnant, what?
Yeah, when I heard that pause, I thought maybe you were having a Fannie Willis horde moment or something. I don't know. But anyway, Laurie, you're right that it is chaff. I don't know if you ever heard of the National Training Center at Fort Irwin, California, but my National Guard unit got sent there both for the first Gulf War. They were trying to acclimate us and train us there, and before the Operation Iraqi Freedom. And one of the things we had, we were operating with units. We had Army Air Defense Artillery batteries, and they would be tracking the opposition force fighter bombers and other attack aircraft that were sent up against us. And they would regularly dispense chaff in order to confuse our air defense batteries and to prevent them getting the radar lock on the craft that was supposed to be attacking us, you know, in mock attack. But they did release chaff. So it is what they use. They've been using it ever since World War II. Now, they used to do it with just aluminum strips, but that's a lot heavier than the fiberglass that's incorporated with aluminum. You know, it's a lot lighter, and it's easier to disperse. So that's why they use it. Now, it's like you say, it's glass. It's basically fiberglass strings. And if you know anything about people who spray fiberglass or work with fiberglass, say in automobile body work, you have to have a respirator to prevent that from getting in your lungs. So it is a concern.
Yeah, exactly. Because what does fiberglass do when it gets in the lungs? I mean, fiberglass
cystic
fibrosis, like, you know,
is one of the results. Yeah, cut. Cystic fibrosis is one of the potential results, among others. So it is a concern, and I understand why you're concerned about it. Now, the only question I have is that I don't think it reaches such a concentration in civilian areas to be that much particularly of a concern. Around military bases where they use a fair quantity of stuff, I would say it probably is. I don't think the concentration, though, is anything for you to be particularly worried about as long as they're using it on military ranges.
I mean, come on now, 500 tons?
That sounds like a lot.
And they're flying low to the ground, you know, not like way up in the upper atmosphere where it'll get, you know, dispersed, you know. This is low to the ground kind of stuff. And you know what I mean? So it's like absolutely that's a huge amount to be releasing in the low, you know, in the lower atmosphere where wind,
Actually, it's kind of a better thing that they release it low to the ground because that way it doesn't have as much of a chance to be dispersed by the wind currents. They're doing it on military bases mainly, and they drop it relatively low to the ground, like within the air defense envelope of medium-range air defense artillery. So most of it settles right down on the ground in the area of the military bases. And most of the areas they dropped it in were relatively remote. I mean, there ain't no civilians around there. It all stays on the ground. When it hits the ground, it pretty much stays there, especially in a lot of it. And it doesn't move around once it gets down there on the ground. Now, I understand they have cleanup teams.
There are tribal lands around that area.
We don't care about them.
So, yeah, we don't care about them. Yeah.
Not on the military basis proper. And like I said, once that stuff hits the ground, it doesn't disperse much when it hits the ground.
It's called geostrophic engineering. Geostrophic engineering. They've been doing it for since the Korean War. It's particles of aluminum reflects the sun and the ozone, protects the ozone layer. That's why they do it.
Yeah, but they've been using chaff since World War II. Not like I said,
chaff.
I think the only really difference is it's been impregnated with this fiberglass, and that's what's really different about it. It makes it lighter, you can carry more of it.
It's up in all our soil if you test
well,
it.
Well, yeah,
test,
and because it's fiberglass and it can get into your lungs and create little microscopic cuts, then your lungs are going to absorb that aluminum. It's going to get into your body even more because of that fiberglass.
Yeah, that's why everybody's got cancer.
Well, my understanding is that they don't do it anywhere outside of military bases.
Right over my house, I see them do.
They're not dropping chaff.
They're spraying the air. They're spraying the chemtrails right above my house. They are spraying the ozone up there right above my house many, many times over the years, ever since I can remember. And this stuff is dangerous.
Around here too. Yep. Mm-hmm. And they don't disperse. They float out.
Beautiful blue skies turn gray. You know?
Turn gray, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Now, you, like I said a while ago, you know, contrails are the ones that go up there, way up there. Those are just water vapor. Don't have to worry about that. They dissipate, but these occur like less than 5,000 feet. Okay? And they just float around, just spread out. And they even do it at night. I've seen it on a full moon lit night. And you could see them crisscrossing in the moonlight. So they do it at night, too.
Crazy.
Well, of course. That way people
crazy.
Won't see it. And
yes,
I recently saw an article from basically a whistleblower that was a contractor for the government saying, yeah, you know, I was hired. I was contracted to release this shit. You know what I mean? And this isn't the only one. But, of course, they're silenced. You know what I mean? Who knows? He's probably locked up in jail by now because – he violated his, you know, his disclosure agreement or something. You know what I mean?
You could probably still go on YouTube and look at these. They've discovered now that these airplanes, even disguised as commercial aircraft, that have got these huge tanks and these sprayers out on the wings. Gee whiz, they're not carrying passengers. So what are they carrying? They got these big.
Well, I think the issue of chemtrails and chaff is kind of separate and not necessarily related phenomenon or concerns. I think chaff is largely confined in military reservations where large-scale maneuvers or pilot training is going on. And usually those are in areas that are always pretty much marked off limits to the public. I mean, if you've ever seen military firing ranges, they got signs and fences and patrols all over the place to keep unauthorized personnel out of them. I mean, I wish they had controls on the border as strict as they do around military firing ranges in order to keep people ain't supposed to be there. But chemtrails is a whole different animal than chaff.
Yeah, but isn't aluminum one of the things that these chemicals that are being sprayed with chemtrails, you know, isn't aluminum one of those things? So, more aluminum?
Yeah, all kinds of stuff in there. Aluminum, all kinds of stuff you don't want in your body.
I mean, it's been
a while since
I've researched this stuff, you know, but aluminum
monoxide.
Is a big part of, neurological disorders and all kinds of crazy shit. And the chemtrails have chemicals. There's lots of different chemicals in them, but I'm pretty sure aluminum is one of the main ingredients of some of this crap that's being sprayed. And now you have this military chaff component on top of it. So, you know, these chemtrails are higher up in the atmosphere, but the chaff is now lower. You know, it's like it's coming from all over the place. And then aren't some of these things, doesn't aluminum kind of act as like a flammable, accelerant kind of?
If it's powdered,
it is so light.
If it's powdered, yes. It's a metal, and yeah, it has an ignition point, but the kind of aluminum you're talking about is the stuff they use in like thermobaric weapons or thermite, and it's powdered. I mean, it has to be finely granulated in order to achieve the effect you're talking about.
Well, that's what this stuff is. You know,
well,
it creates like a vapor. It is very fine. It is very, you know, and then an article going into wildfires. You know, we're like, oh, it's climate change is causing all these wildfires. Well, maybe not. You know, is that just a cover up for this shit?
Well, look, since I'm a master electrician, engineer, you take a piece of aluminum wire and rub it on your finger. And you'll get that residue on your finger. That's aluminum. That's that aluminum actually coming off that wire. The material aluminum. And what's your skin? It's the sponge. That stuff goes right into your skin. That's why it's been outlawed.
Exactly. And it's a conductor. Yeah.
Conductor. Yep.
Speaking of aluminum,
aluminum's
a good conductor. That's true. Well. I really think,
I can see you arguing about chemtrails because actually I haven't done enough studying on chemtrails to determine whether or not that is a danger or not. But with the issue of chaff, again, it's primarily distributed over military training ranges, which are very highly controlled and regulated. And I don't think much of it escapes the boundaries of military reservations. And according to what I have heard, they do have environmental teams that go around and clean up as much of it as they can. So I really don't think chaff is as much of a threat as the other may be.
Well,
the other ones are pretty good.
I don't know.
Yeah, because
we're
talking about the border.
How do you clean up something that you can't see? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't see it. You don't know how long it's going to be up in the air for. And if they're doing it in military training exercises, and then we're just talking this one area in Oregon, so you know this is happening in other areas too. And so it kind of makes you wonder, you know, is it really just for training? Is it really just, you know,
makes you wonder, what are we going to do to stop it? What can we do to stop it? What can we do to stop it?
About it for a minute, though, given the fact that these people are trying to get us to go to war and Ukraine and with Taiwan and everywhere else. And we all know what we heard about Taiwan, a key and critical component of the enemy's air measures is radar lock-on, all types of radar, FLIR, forward-looking radar, look-down radar, you name every kind of radar imaginable. At some point, our troops have to train in its dispersal to prevent them from being shot down by radar. And look at what's happening in Ukraine. It's one of the biggest threats aerial vehicles face, whether they're drones or whether they're manned vehicles. So at some point, the military is going to have to know how to disperse it, how to use it in conjunction with military operations, and there's no substitute for doing it practically. Now, remember, the only other solution is to make sure our troops never fight a war. And if we can do that, then we don't need chaff. But given what these politicians are doing with our folks nowadays, I think that's an extremely unlikely.
Well, right. Yeah. I mean, look at what they're doing.
So if war itself doesn't kill us, then all of these byproducts of the preparedness for war will kill us instead. I mean, that's kind of the rundown.
Well, think about it now. Why do you think the anti-gun bunch is going after lead bullets so much? I mean, that's been a target of their ire now for decades. They want us to stop using lead in a projectile. And they say the environmental concerns, while we need to disallow people from shooting at wild animals on nature preservation places and target ranges out in the woods, they don't want us to use lead anymore. So, and in fact, even the United States Army, when they came up with the new M885 bullet in the 5.56 NATO round, which was designed to help penetrate body armor because the Soviets were, coming out with body armor that was sort of resistant to the 5.56 ball round. Well, they came up with this composite round that had a penetrator core inside over a lead
outer casing and then the copper casing over that. And the environmentalists made a big ruckus and rhubarb over the fact that they were using this new kind of bullet and they wanted to ban it. They didn't want the civilians to have it and everything else. They've been doing this for a long time.
Well, I
I'm
going to
interrupt for just a second. I'm going to bring Montana Joe on in. And then we also have another Skype number raising their hand, so I want to find out who we got. So, hey, Joe, and then Skype number you're on. Who do we got?
Yes, Lori, thank you very much for taking my call. This is Brother Mike. How are you?
Oh,
hey, Mike. What's up? What's up?
Yeah, your prediction, your prediction was off. You were wrong on your prediction.
You're new to me, but apparently other people know you. So hello, Brother Mike. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. And I know the rest of your gang as well, too. I mean, they are very, very number one, you know, callers you have as well, too. So we now are gang, I guess, complete by now. So regarding the chemtrail that our brother, the other brother was talking, can you give me your name, please, just to refresh my memory, please?
Who?
For you, yeah.
Who's he talking to?
You've got Joe on the line. You've got the other Joe. You've got Sarge. You've got,
yeah, Sarge.
I think, Gunslinger,
yes.
And you've got Alaskan.
Yes, yes, Sarge, greeting to you. For a long time, I haven't talked to you. But, yes, the chemtrail, you know, is causing a lot of people, you know, illnesses and allergies and Morgallo disease as well, too. And we have not so many doctors in the United States. They know about Morgallo disease, but there are some that they understand, and they don't say that you are, if a person has experienced Morgallo's disease in which, you know, the skin is irritated and there is a hair coming out, out of it too. And they do have treatments in the United States for Morgallo's disease now, but, I mean, it wasn't, it is new. But long time ago, nobody understand anything. And every time patients, they go to the dermatologist, into dermatologists, et cetera, they come back with, oh, it's in your head. Or you think that it's nothing. It's just, you know, it's itching, you know, when sometimes you scratch your skin. Ah, don't worry about it. Everything is fine. Whenever doctors say that, everything is fine, you know that you need to dig more and you need to look more, because it is not truth. And truth will come later on. Go ahead, please. Go ahead, Sarge.
All good points. Montana Joe dropped. I'm kind of keeping an eye out to see if he calls back in.
Okay.
Might have just sent his phone. But, yeah, I think that, you know, I think that when they downplay, the more they try to downplay this, that makes me even more, you know, like my antennas get perked. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, this is no big deal. Don't worry about it. It's all fine. You know, that kind of thing. It's like whenever that message is being sent, that makes me go, okay, now we should be worried.
Right. Exactly.
Well, no, I'm definitely not saying there's not a concern about it. I guess I'm kind of saying there's, given the realities of our current technological understanding of what it takes to disrupt radar, it's kind of a trade-off. You're going to have our armed forces prepared to be able to use the stuff to protect the very radar, and counter battery radar techniques are absolutely vital to success on the battlefield. And they've got to know how to be able to counter it, and they have to be able to train with it. So maybe the solution is to find another technological solution that is as effective as aluminum in chaff, because aluminum chaff has proven to be the most efficient and economical method to disrupt these tracking systems. And believe me, You're not going to find any aerial assets that can survive on the modern-day battlefield without the ability to do exactly that. You're just not going to last. They're going to be dead.
Yes, absolutely.
Is there something
so
that,
if we can find another solution, great, so we don't have to use it. But I'm just saying, I think at the moment, and remember, given the fact that it is restricted to military reservations, and they do put it at relatively low altitude, unless, of course, you're talking about a fighter and fighter-to-fighter dogfights that are engaged with each other at high altitude, well, they toss chaff out, too, but they have to because it's at high altitude. They got to, you know, before the enemy gets a lock on with his missile, you got these chaff dispensers going off shooting the chaff off. Well, that's why they got to deploy it. But most of the stuff that we're talking about with this case in Oregon, they're dispersing at relatively low altitude, so wind currents don't have a chance to transmit it too far. I'm sure most all of it stays on the military reservation.
I find that hard to believe. I mean, especially when the stuff can stay in the air, I mean, from what it said, from 10 minutes to 10 hours. You know, and I'm sure that that depends on, you know, the wind and the altitude and things like that. And so, you know, when you have stuff that can be in the air for 10 hours, that gives it plenty of time to spread, for the winds to take it and carry it on off to who knows where. But I guess that's part of the reason why they want to study this further, because, you know, it's hard to measure. You know, we might want to assume that it stays more, you know, located, you know, relatively confined location, but that's part of the study. Like, how far does this stuff really reach, you know, and what impact does it have? And so, you know, I mean, when we talk about, you know, government waste, you know, they study all kinds of stupid shit. Well, this is something that, yeah, definitely our taxpayers should go towards studying, you know, because like I said,
government
this
waste.
Is happening just as,
government
you know, it's
waste.
Not just happening here in Oregon. This is happening all over the place. And if just here in Oregon with this one case, if 500 tons of this shit is being emitted into the air, you know, just in this one location, I mean, that is crazy to multiply that.
Government waste,
towards all of the other military training.
Government waste? There's no such thing as that. Come on. Government waste doesn't exist. Hey, by the way, you guys do know that. You guys do know that Air Force One has got a bunch of chaff dispensers on it, don't you?
I mean, you do know how much they're spending now with people. I want to go traveling at the border. I want a free travel pass so I can go anywhere I want in the country. You know, I mean, I want a credit card. I want that $5,000 credit card. I mean, what the hell? I mean, damn.
Well, I'm really worried about the fact that this country seems, I mean, our leadership seems to want to get us embroiled in major wars everywhere in the world. And you better believe me, if we get involved and embroiled in major wars all around the world, we're going to be expensive one hell of a lot of goddamn chaff everywhere.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go ahead and bring Ron Reck on into the conversation. I see that he was raising his hand. Oh, wait. Well, he was raising his hand, and then he just dropped it. Ron Reck, I'm going to bring you on in anyway.
Right.
You're not allowed to change your
victim.
Mind.
I'm just a victim, goddammit. You know, you all are on a good topic, but you're misconcepting the whole practice of a fact. That shit they're spraying is perfectly fine for you. It's not going to hurt you no more than the shit you do to yourself. Okay? And by what I'm saying is something every one of you, most of you, maybe some don't, some, but most of us will do. We use this shit called underarm deodorant, whether it's aerosol or fucking stick, right? Do all you use that? You don't use underarm deodorant?
No, I used that up years ago because I read about how bad it is.
It can clog
up your pores and fuck you up. So,
but what is that? What is that main ingredient?
Like natural based body spray. You know, like alcohol.
What is the main ingredient?
You know,
well, that's what they tell
extra.
You. Right. Yeah, that's what they say. But anyway, but what is the main ingredient that causes that to fuck up? Aluminum. The same shit they spray is the same shit you smear under your arms. And your nutsack if you need. But it's aluminum. And here's the problem. I found this out years ago. I had a friend of mine, she kept complaining she'd get these be like these big fucking boils under her arms and shit, you know, and couldn't understand why. So I got a culture done. I had done it for her and sent to a lab, and we found out it's aluminum. It's plugging up her pores, okay? Also, aluminum is a lovely, lovely little thing. I love it in beer. Beer and aluminum, perfect, okay? But here's the other problem with aluminum. Aluminum is something that can cause cancer because what it does, it will plug the system. It will plug your system, and it will fucking cause it to get irritated. Okay, that's what we found out about her, okay? So now the point is that you buy it every day. There's so much shit that has aluminum in it, it's fucking believable. And you don't know what it is. That's all it is. Aluminum is used as a cheap additive. It's like fucking sugar and, you know, wheat and all that shit, you know, flour. And then all the other little chemicals they could throw in. You know, it's like when we came up and did research on the cigarettes, on the burn rings of the cigarettes, you know, which I've done myself many times years ago. And it's the reason I don't smoke anymore is acetate copolymer. But what the fuck is that? What do you mean, acetate copolymer? Most people don't understand what it is. They're not a biologist. But what it is, it's actually fucking carpet glue. And they put it in cigarettes. So now, all of a sudden, this country has a real weird fucking deal of COPD. Let's not just name it one disease and problem. Let's make it a multiple. Okay, because that's what COPD stands for. You know, it's obstruction, pulmonary obstruction. But it can be anything, bronchitis, the common cold, whatever. So here's the problem, though. When you smoke a cigarette with acetate copolymer in it, you are burning a glue. But it is safe at 127 degrees Fahrenheit. But the problem is the cigarette burns at 365, right? So you're sucking that shit down into your lungs, your bronchial bags, which are like feathers, like flowing feathers in your lungs that attracts, that's what gets your oxygen, okay? And sends on to the blood system, the heart, and everything, and the brain, it all needs it. But anyway, what happens when you exhale and breathe back in again, that shit cools. So it encapsulates the bronchial bag. So you can't absorb the oxygen, so automatically COPD. Let's hook them up to fucking oxygen, you know. Let's do that. Then we got sleep apnea coming along with that, too.
You also have to factor in the fiberglass that they use in the filters. So
well,
you
that's
got, you know,
true,
again, just
that's
like this military shaft, a combination of aluminum and fiberglass.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the fiberglass, technically, the fiberglass in a non-menthol is not dangerous compared to a menthol cigarette, okay? Because menthol causes that fiberglass to defragment. Well, that's the lab test shows defragmentation. Then right now, but, you know, they're trying to ban menthol cigarettes now as it is. The government is. They're trying to ban them. Ain't that crazy? So anyway,
are crying. They call it cancer, you know? I mean,
well, but
it's not
here's
like
the problem. But,
right,
Joseph, but Joe, but you know, cancer is rampant. I mean, it's in any thousands of ways of getting it. You know, I mean, so many different brands of cancer. I mean, but the majority of that shit comes from aluminum. Actually comes from aluminum.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't even know it, man. I'm just telling you, it plugs up the system. Your body can't fight it. It can't, the immune system can't fight the shit off like it could. It's shit. Like the lady I told you with the boils on her arms. Yeah, the body was, you know, popping those big boils and shit to get rid of it. You know, but the body shit is the only way you can get rid of it. Some people never have that side effect to know that. Their body's not protecting itself. So they're constantly injecting this aluminum in their system constantly. You know, carotid arteries, all this shit piles up, man, in your system. It fucks it up mentally.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, most the death rate people anymore nowadays, reality, is about their late 50s. You know, that's the bad, sad part about it, early 60s, late 50s. And most of them are smokers. You know, they're not actually dying from that. They're going to say, which will say natural cause, but that's not true. It's simple chemical death. Chemical death. Because once you're done, you're no good no more. You're useless to them. They want to get rid of you. That's like your insurance. You don't have you got this coverage for this, but reality, no, you don't. They don't give a fuck. I've talked to doctors, and they've told me the same thing. If they're too fucking, you know, ain't worthy to manufacture nothing no more, do a goddamn good thing for their society, let them go. Don't treat them.
Yeah, they stop treating you, yep. Yeah, they give you that treatment plan.
Welcome to the fucking, welcome to Adolf Hitler's world. That's sad, isn't it?
Yes, you know, we have a contrail, too. Contrail is the normal. It's from the aeroplanes or sometimes jets, aircraft, you know, also fighter jets. they give chemtrail out. Sorry. But chemtrails is totally different because sometimes the pilots for the chemtrails, they go crazy. And sometimes they put a sign on the sky. It's like they play anything they want to. You know, sometimes they write things in Latin or American language, or they have, you know, they put the signs over there on the skies because they're bored. You know, they give them the aircraft. It says all this chemtrail is inside it. And they say, go ahead, this is the area that you need to be in, and good luck. And then they go and do anything they want to, and, you know, because they bored sometimes, you know. And then we see that poisonous skies all over the world. There are only 3 countries today. They don't have poisonous skies. And poisonous skies is, there is no poisonous sky in Iran, there is no poisonous sky in Cuba, and there is no poisonous sky in North Korea. So these are the three ones.
There's 2 places I know on that.
And also Israel. Israel can be the 4th one too, but that one, I have a question. I'm not sure. But these 3 for sure. They don't have a poisonous sky, but we have seen that close to Persian Gulf, the, you know, Emirat and Qatar and other countries there, they put their chemtrail and sometimes goes towards the other side, Persian Gulf. So,
yeah.
But that's the minimum that Iran may get. But that's why right now everything is in Middle East messed up, because right now Israel is on red alert right now as we speak. It's a code red there. They're putting all their missiles, everything ready to shoot down the Iranian missiles that will be coming sooner than later from Ayatollahs. And that this Ayatollahs.
What missiles? What are you talking about? What missiles? I don't understand what you mean. I don't get that. What is he saying? What are you saying,
but
Mike?
But I'm saying that Ayatollahs are going to start the World War III, and that's not good for the mankind. And they are the ones who's causing a lot of problem around the globe as well, too.
Yeah, but they don't have any missiles that can hit the United States. They don't have no missiles that can hit the United States, Ayatollah.
Okay, but their missiles can go up to NATO, and beyond that, right? I mean, they already had a test yesterday or the last 48 hours. They had sent 20 missiles, and then they show that they hit that F-35 hangar in Israel. So we can see that the tension is rising every day, every minute.
We know that. Yeah, we know that.
You know?
I mean,
so tensions.
Jim, you know, Iran doesn't have any intercontinental ballistic missiles. That's true.
I know.
They do have medium-range ballistic missiles, anti-ship missiles, free rocket overground type missiles. They've got missiles that go up to 1,400 to 2,000 kilometers. They can definitely endanger our troops in theater. So they do have a ballistic missile capability that is significant. They got some missile they call the Fatah. I forget exactly what it's a surface-to-surface ballistic missile that can be used tactically against ground targets like our troops, our air bases, et cetera, et cetera. So they have
the
threat.
They
just don't have ICBMs yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
so
what, Sarge?
That it can hit Israel in less than 4 minutes. So they have the capability.
They got the Iron Dome, Israel. So, you know, by the time they get the launch detection alone, they wouldn't even get, you know.
It'll never stop them all. It didn't work to stop all of them.
after October 7th. It's not they can saturate the Iron Dome to the point where they cannot stop every incoming missile. Even if they can stop many of them, they won't stop them
all. Then what happens, Sarge?
The defenses will just
be saturated. When they do that, Sarge. When they do that.
That's what Hamas did, though. Hamas oversaturated the Iron Dome with thousands of missiles they launched. They were not able to destroy it.
Look what's happened to Gaza now. It's leveled. It's leveled. That's what's going to happen in Iran if they do that.
Joe. They're fighting a war. I'm sorry.
That's no fighting.
When you declare war on somebody and your enemy is tenacious and dug in an urban fight, this is what happens. Don't fight the war in the first place. Because once it starts, there is no way to control it. You don't want it to get to war. Once it gets there, hey, it's going to take its course.
Surge is right there.
It's not going to happen, though, right now. It's not going to happen. Iran war. Iran. Who's Iran? Iran's nothing.
The Iranians are nuts. I don't know. Look, they went to war. How long did they fight against Iraq? 10 years? The Iran-Iraq war. I mean, that thing went about, I don't know, 7 or 8 years?
Isn't Iran
these people in the Iran-Iraq war, they were killing each other by the hundreds of thousands for 7 or 8 years.
Sarge, how long did it take for us to win the war? A couple months.
I wouldn't count on that every time. We had a different army in 1991. In fact, I think the army that won the Gulf War and the armed forces that won the Gulf War in 1991 was the best armed forces we've ever had since the end of the Second World War. The best trained, best equipped, best motivated. I don't think we've got an armed force like that anymore.
And Saddam Hussein had a much better military than Iran had. Okay.
But there's some caveats, but I would say that's probably true.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Iran is funding a lot of this stuff, and Iran is part of the supply chain, too, to transport weapons and stuff like that from one place to another. They're a good, middle ground for this as well. So they are very strategic, even though they might not have these advanced weapons themselves. They are a good middleman for that supply chain.
Yeah.
And
right
finances.
Now Russia's got their hands tied, so Russia ain't going to be able to help them out. Russia's got their hands tied with Ukraine.
And I'm going to tell you one thing, Joe. From my study of history and war, and it's pretty extensive, at least it's more than probably the average layman does, I ain't never going to underestimate any enemy. Ever. You just don't know.
I am going to go ahead and bring on Pianki. Looks like we got Pianki raising his hand.
Guys,
bringing you on in. And then, sorry to interrupt, but then I'm also bringing Boyd on in as well. Oops, and I just accidentally closed the window,
totally
so hang on.
I have a totally unrelated question. And it's for
I would like to make a comment, my friend. You know, Iran causes a lot of havoc everywhere. Iran, Ayatollahs, not only kills its own citizens and hostage taker for 44 years right now, plus kills the people of Israel, kills the American people, kills people of Argentina, and so on. Everywhere, fingerprint of the Ayatollahs are on this. Very, very bad things happen.
Yes, they're very bad people.
So we are sick and tired of Ayatollahs to be like that. And anyway, they are not belong to the nation of Iran. Iranian, they never validate correctly the Islamic Republic of Iran. So it is null and void. So whatever they make decision or any kind of contract between other nations is a null and void, is up to the future government of Iran.
It's none of our business.
The government of Iran to decide. Go ahead, please.
We should stay out of it. It's none of our business.
Yeah.
Unless they attack us.
I agree with you, Joe. You said you should stay out of it. But you know who the evil people in the world are? It's France and Britain. You can go back
to
history and you can see their clutches. And as far as bombs to reach the United States, they won't fly through the air. They're coming in on two legs, a piece at a time. What do they call those things, suitcase bombs? A piece at a time. They just walk right on in, especially now with the administration that you got that's anti-American. They're allowing it to happen.
Now, guys, I have a question for Sarge. Sarge, and you may laugh at the way I phrase this, but Sarge, is Fannie Willis fucked or not?
Was that a double entendre? That was pretty good. Yeah, she definitely is. But look, man, Bonnie Willis, man, I swear to God, this is just a shit show, a clown show, a couple of prosecutorial clowns. I mean, not only are they mendacious, liars, utterly corrupt, vicious, ideological, partisan, everything else, and not utterly disinterested in the objective application of the law, but they're completely incompetent and stupid. That's the worst possible combination you can have. If there's any righteousness in the judicial system, they ought to be fucked, literally and figuratively. Yes, there should be. I mean, it was more than enough evidence coming out of that crazy woman's mouth to impeach her right there. She said she didn't even know what her ethical obligations as a prosecutor under Fulton County's own regulations were. She came out of her own mouth. I couldn't believe it when she said that. That alone ought to torpedo her.
Yeah.
Let's go arrest her.
Excuse me.
Come on, everybody, let's go arrest her.
There's three different types of people. There's stupid people. There's stupid. There's smart people. There's stupid people. And there's stupid smart people. The stupid smart people are the most dangerous because they think they know everything about everything, but they don't know nothing about nothing. You know?
I can just imagine Fannie Willis telling me, you know, officer, you know you weren't supposed to accept that gratuity of Super Bowl ticket, yet you took them anyway. This is why my office is prosecuting you to set an example not only to the citizens of Fulton County, but to the rest of the police officers who work for Fulton County in the state of Georgia. My office insists upon the highest standards of public integrity. Bullshit! Man, this woman deserves every goddamn thing that's coming to her. I mean, her career needs to be ruined. She needs to be disbarred, and they need to launch an investigation of her on a criminal basis.
Amen. Who's going to do it?
And frankly, I'll say it again. All these, there are three different guys that they intimidated into taking a plea deal. That those plea deals should go away, all right, because they got intimidated by Fannie Willis into taking that plea deal. Cheeseboro and the two female lawyers, okay?
Man, I would suggest to you that anybody that's been convicted under this woman's office needs to have their entire case reviewed for any defects in the prosecution, because I'm sure there are many that were overlooked because they just didn't have the resources to fight this crazy woman. And I'm telling you right now, I'll bet you a lot of them could be either reversed or sent back for a new trial if there's a vigorous investigation into them.
You can't do
that. That can't be done.
No, they
can't be done. Yes, you can. No, you can always make an appeal when you find out new evidence of prosecutorial malfeasance. That's always opens the door at any time.
Not if their appeals have been exhausted and if it was under a plea bargain, there has to be some sort of evidence that outweighs the fact that and it has to be an appealable
issue.
And
I think that could be found with her. I do. I truly believe it would be such a substantive case of prosecutorial malfeasance and corruption that case could be made.
That's not an appealable issue. It has to be an appealable issue of law at the trial or at the plea bargain itself. It has to be an application.
All it has to be is a constitutional issue, and the failure to receive due process.
No, that's not an appeal. No, you cannot appeal
that. That's
on that.
Always a constitutional issue if you got improper due process. That's always appealable.
Okay.
That's never that can never be set aside.
And what is the issue of the appeal, then? What is the appealable issue
of
due process?
Again, that's why I said each individual case has to be examined to determine whether or not such matters exist in the prosecution. I'm not saying it's automatic. It's not. you got to dig deep into everything, and you got to see if there is an issue that can be brought up on appeal. I guarantee you, a diligent investigator will certainly come up with some in a lot of these cases.
Well, it can be done because it was done in St. Louis with Kim Gardner. When she took police reports, she was against the police, really. First black female prosecutor for the city of St. Louis, she took cases and threw them away because of the reports, the officers themselves.
Yep.
So, of course, eventually she got put out. But they have the power to do that. See, you got a racial thing going on in Atlanta area, Joe Gibson. And that there has a lot of credence. You got to overcome that. Now, my method of overcoming is educating kids. That's not happening to no great extent. That's why that stuff still exists. You think Atlanta is something else. Wait till you go to Chicago. It's worse.
Man, I was reviewing Willis's testimony. I was reviewing Willis's video testimony on that stand. I could not believe the sort of deference that that judge gave to her, let her go rambling on and running on and filibustering and making accusations and everything else. I mean, almost any other witness to behave that way after having been admonished by a judge one time would have been in the county jail overnight on contempt. I can damn bloody well see you. But he let her run wild in his courtroom.
Did he have a gavel?
Yeah, he didn't seem to want to use it. Go back and look at that testimony. She was allowed to run buck wild.
He might as well threw the damn gavel out the window. It's all throughout the justice system in Atlanta. I'm going to have to say this, but when you have these systems that are ran by blacks, not all, but certain kinds, especially these gatekeepers, that's the kind of shit that you get. Name a city, and we can point the individuals out. Just name any major city. We can point the individuals out.
When you got people like Fannie Willis, what's his name up there in Chicago, Tish James in Chicago, in New York as well. The black mayor of Chicago.
Mosley in Philadelphia.
Look, Pearcy is speaking to a combination of two pernicious elements that are colliding in the big city Democrat run cities all over the nation. Number one, the natural tendency of Democrats in big cities to be utterly and thoroughly corrupted. That's normal. You find that everywhere. But there's an additional element with people like Fannie Willis, and it was on full display in the AME church and in the courtroom. This racial identity injected into it with ideology and racial identity and a sense of self-righteous entitlement. You could see it on display there. I mean, it was as ugly and naked as anything I've ever seen. And she was sitting there just full of herself with it. And that is precisely the reason why so many of these big city Democrats, they're liberals. You have to be a leftist, and you got to be a Democrat, and you got to be in a big city. And they're all alike to a degree. Yeah. The degree may be different. Fannie Willis is on one extreme. But the other extreme is less. You might not notice it as much, but it's always there. It's always an undercurrent. Fox is a perfect example. Kim Gardner in St. Louis, Marilyn Mosby in Baltimore, Letitia James in New York. I could go on and on and on.
But the one determining factor, Joe Gibson, and I keep telling you this all the time, you know who's got to straighten that out? White males. You got to straighten that out. You built the country. You fought the war. You got to straighten that stuff out. Blacks can't. Me and Sarge ain't got enough people. We ain't got enough people to make a hamburger.
We can't.
We don't have enough people to make a hamburger. You have to straighten that shit out.
The white men in this country don't got the backbone to do nothing.
They're
too busy watching the Super Bowl. They're too busy watching the Super Bowl.
They might as well not have no damn nuts. Do you have any nuts at all?
That's what I say.
I mean, look, we could have had a white man come down hard, and you know, back in 2020 when all the damn riots were taking place, and they were trying to burn down that federal courthouse in Oregon there, you know, and it's like, okay, why didn't Trump go in there and just say, you're not done, gonna do this, we're gonna get you, you know?
Why are we always looking for Trump to be our hero? Why
did
it gotta be Trump?
Trump did. Because Portland wouldn't respond, Trump did. And that was part of the uproar in Portland, was because Trump finally did something. To call a National Guard in, and because Portland and Oregon are, you know, our dictator and chief governor wasn't doing anything about it to protect the federal buildings. Mm-hmm. So Trump finally did. And so, yeah, he did do something. And that's what they were freaking out about. You know, of course, you know, Trump was overstepping his bounds. He has no business doing this, blah, 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 was the argument. And it's like, well, you know, guess what? These are federal buildings. It's basically federal land at that point. And, you know, if the governor of the state that it's in isn't going to do anything about it, if the mayor of the city where it's happening isn't going to do anything about it, then what the hell is Trump supposed to do? Just sit back and let it happen? No. You know,
Donald Trump,
you all know I'm not a big fan of Trump. I am not a huge fan of Trump. You all know that. But yet, at that time, I was like, you know, I support this move by Trump, you know, because somebody has to take control of the situation.
Well, yeah. Donald Trump had U.S. Marshals in full battle rattle. Did you see them? They were in full battle rattle, and I'm amazed at the restraint they were using there. Some of them were contractors. Some of them were U.S. Marshals, but they were in full battle rattle, and they had used amazing restraint in protecting those federal buildings. But they should have had backup from the local authorities, and they had almost none. Almost none.
Exactly.
It was like they said, we're going to let these people run wild because we are sympathetic to their ideology, and we don't want to be seen as being opposing the Summer of Love and George Floyd and bringing righteousness back to the criminal justice system and police brutality. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Well,
and, you know, with Trump, it wasn't about just protecting the buildings. It was the fact that these rioters, these Antifa and BLM rioters, were trying to get into that federal building to kill the people inside, the workers that were inside.
Can't allow that. Children in place
because of this. They are surrounded by a mob that wants to fucking kill them. Our local law enforcement, you know, our local leaders that be, like I said, our governor and mayor, just wanted to sit back and let it fucking happen.
Amen.
So,
Donald Trump has hipped you to what's going on. Joe Gibson, you're a Christian. You believe in Jesus. What did John the Baptist say? Now, what did John the Baptist say? He said, I baptize you with water, but another will come that will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Well, Trump is baptizing us in the Holy Spirit. Nobody's listening. They follow the
narrative. That's right. That's right, because that's what the white man does out there. He's always too worried about watching the Super Bowl, and he doesn't want to stand up and fight. He's got too busy waxing his car in the driveway. You know, stand up and sacrifice. Get off your ass and let's go. They don't want – you can't get him. Oh, he'll do it. Let him do it. Let him do it. And that's the problem. I agree with you.
But guys, back to this whole Fannie Willis thing, and it cuts – this whole corruption, you know, cuts through the races as well. Think about this. The three judges in New York State, they're all white people. They're all white. And they're all out to screw Trump. Right? They're liberal, they're white, and they're out to screw Trump. You know? Every damn one of them. So,
yeah, but where do they get educated?
We look at them, we look at
where do they get educated, Mike?
Yep.
Where do they get educated? Well, they got educated at places like Harvard and Princeton and Yale, and look who's teaching them. Look who's presiding over them. People like Claudine Gay. And that McGill woman that they kicked out, all those others, look at who's teaching them. Look at who's educating them, giving them their degrees. Look who's putting them in an honorary society. A bunch of cultural Marxists and diversity, equity, and inclusion mongers.
Yep. And they using these black faces. Yeah, using these black faces because you dare not say nothing because they're going to call you a race. I'm going to tell you something else.
Yeah, that's right.
Your coalition of 250,000 cannot just look like you. You got to have a coalition of different people that stand for the United States Constitution. If you don't do that, they're going to use what you end up with as a weapon against you and say, look at these crazy old white men out there running around in the woods chasing turkeys.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll tell you what, Bianchi, every time when we were doing the militia meetings, right, years and years ago, we used to ask for the brothers to come out. They wouldn't come out. There's another one. They wouldn't come out and do nothing either, you know? So it was hard to find some good patriots that were black. So I'm going to tell you that right now. So we used to invite them.
Look at what just came out. Look at what just came out yesterday from an icon of the leftist. Joy Reid, I don't know how many people watch that show, but apparently she's got a lot of influence, it seems, as much as that she said that black, again, she's supposed to be a talk show host with some following, and she says black people literally physically built this country, and nobody else had much of a hand in it. Black people literally, physically built this country and deserve more than a two-term black president. They need reparations as a result of it. This kind of demagoguery, and you got all these white people intimidated to challenge it, to say anything, to push back against this craziness.
It can legitimately be said that here on the West Coast, it wasn't black people that built the country, it was Asians.
Asians, yeah, railroad workers.
There's a lot of fucking Asians that were building.
And Irishmen. Irishmen and Asians.
Yeah.
When I see that,
why doesn't anyone push back? There's a history out there. There's a historical record that these people just pretend doesn't exist. They wave it off, and they count on everybody else being ignorant of it to get away with this. Now, you know what I just saw the other day that really got to me and really blew my mind? The state of Montana had a recruitment poster, and they got this sergeant major, command sergeant major, and his grandfather is a World War II veteran, still alive, and the poster was supposed to be homage to his grandfather, and in support of that theme, in the background with the sergeant major holding a picture of his grandfather, a highly decorated World War II veteran, they got soldiers from World War II trudging in the background. And I'm looking at it, and I'm saying to myself, let's see. They got the March Staple boots. They got the Feldmarschmacher pack and German field equipment, that entrenching tool that the United States stole the design from for their entrenching tool, which is really German, and most significantly, probably the most iconic helmet in the history of warfare, the pattern 1934 German style helm with a distinctive neck guard at the back. They're German soldiers. I said, Montana Army National Guard, some historically ignorant numbskull couldn't recognize German World War II soldiers marching to the front from behind. And now Montana's embarrassed about this, as they well should be. I mean, what do you say? These people are alienated from history, the most important aspects of history they know nothing about.
When I seen that video at that church, that white church, where the whites was on their knees kissing the black shoes, I said to myself, oh, my goodness.
Oh, man.
Right.
Oh, man. Yeah, like I said, man, you need to go look up that, go on the web and just research, look in there, research that recruiting poster embarrasses Montana National Guard. They can't even tell this between American soldiers and German soldiers.
So let's think about it.
Of World War II, no less.
So let's think about it this way, though. Think about it this way. This is the same woman that wears a fucking Trump wig, Joy Reid.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess so. I guess, you're right. Thank you for setting me straight there, boss. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man, that's the same woman. Oh, man. I'm not cultural. I hate cultural appropriation, but I'm not culturally appropriate a blonde haired Trump, a blonde haired wig that looks like Trump's hair. Hmm.
Oh man, oh man.
Well, look at last night. We had a perfect example of it last night on Donnie C's show. As soon as somebody comes on and starts talking about peace, love, and let's all get together, everybody bows down. Oh yeah, let's all get along, get along. You know, who's the only one that said, no, we need to get in their faces and tell them, no, they're wrong. Period. You know, all I heard was silence, crickets. You know?
I used to tell that God forgives, I don't.
That's right.
Man, oh, man, I tell you. We got a lot of work to do, folks. They just face it. We got a lot of work. But, again, let's be encouraged by the fact that more and more people are waking up to the fact that something's desperately wrong. Now, they may not be as acquainted with all the details as we are, because we're junkies. We're nerds for this stuff. We go into it in depth. But they know something's wrong. All they're looking for is someone to give them the right information. And let us and others like us be
exactly
encouraged to do exactly that.
For some
you're
people,
in on that. So people more and more all around, you know, it doesn't matter, races, whatever, more and more people are getting disillusioned, you know, and more people are starting to question things, and that's what I like to see. You know, I think, you know, that's one of the things that happened with COVID. Of course, you have the hopelessly compliant out there, but with the COVID stuff and what our government has been doing and what it's been doing ever since, you know, it's starting to wake more and more people up, you know, and more people are starting to go, well, you know, maybe some of these, you know, like libertarians like me aren't so fucking crazy after all. they're starting to wake up. And I would really like to see, I've said it before, I'll say it again, I would really like Trump to go to Maui and campaign there. Why? Because after those fires and Biden's lack of response, and that shit is still going on, nobody's talking about it, but the corruption is still happening there. And, you know, Trump could actually make a dent in Hawaii if he went there, because they are so fucking pissed off at Biden right now that he could seize that opportunity easily. He could go there and turn a lot of people in his favor.
I'm going to send them an email. I'm going to reach out to their campaign staff and ask them about that.
And I'm
going to
tell
you
something else. Trump ain't going to be around forever. All throughout history, your teacher came and your teacher left. He ain't going to be around forever. If you don't get
by the way, folks,
I put a
link to that poster if you care to see it in the chat room. Take a look for yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I remember seeing it, but I'm going to pull it up again. Yeah, I remember seeing it.
Yeah, I just sent you a link to it so you can take a look at it.
I was the Ron Paul guy.
For some people, it just hadn't gotten bad enough yet for them to change the way they – to change their voting patterns, you know, hadn't gotten bad enough yet. Now, is it getting there? Yeah, I think it's getting there. I think it's getting to the point where it's really, really bad. And, yeah, Biden's got such a goddamn big ego. He's power mad, he's power hungry, and he's got a big-ass ego that he's not allowing himself. They're trying to give him all the chances in the world to step aside.
That's a good point.
He doesn't want to go. So
it ain't got bad enough yet.
Saying it ain't bad enough is an understatement. You see the lines in Target? They had a line wrapped around the damn store with baskets because they don't laid off everybody and got two people working the cash register, shut down the self-service.
Bianchi, people see things, and that's what we're – Americans are very impressionable. It's just like on social media when somebody says, oh, I support Joe Biden, or like my guy I'm running against. Oh, I support you. I vote against you. Some people have to go underneath those comments and say, oh, things aren't bad enough yet for you. You gotta make them feel bad about what they say and what they do. Yeah, you know, you got to reverse that paradigm way of thinking, that left-right bullcrap. You know, you cannot do that. Oh, I'm going to vote blue all the way. You know, you've got to reverse. We got to reverse that way of thinking, that they think it's the only way.
Well, I tell you what, you're absolutely right. And the major thing you got to do is take your kids from these idiots, because these idiots are producing your kids. That's going to be the ones that you just got to describe. And when they get 20 and 21, they're going to be fighting you.
Yep. Mm-hmm. If we make it that far.
Right. And that's the thing. When you've got a guy in New York City who's the mayor of that town who, oh, we're going to keep doing the whole sanctuary city thing, and we're going to do this, and we're going to accept these. Greg Abbott is sending these people on these buses, and we're going to accept these people, and crime keeps going up, and all that stuff is getting bad and bad and bad. This guy may not get his second term or third term or whatever the hell it is. It may get to the point where whoever's left there in Chicago, whatever natives that are left there, I mean in New York City, may very well, we may see another Rudy Giuliani or somebody like that in New York City that will end up cleaning up New York City at some point. You know?
You know what you need? You know what's needed in New York City? Get about 12 or 15 or 20 buses of people from the Congo and send them up there and see what happens. Take them out there into some of the rich suburbs and here's some people that want to share your home and see what happens. You can call them out because they sure in the hell call you out on that. What did they say? Trump is racist. He's stopping Asians from coming into the country. Trump is racist. He's blaming everything on China. You got to play the same damn game that they play.
Well, who was it? Who was it? There was a reporter that took a bunch of illegal aliens or maybe homeless people and took them over to Nancy Pelosi's house there in California and put them over the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember who that was, if that was like Laura Loomer or I don't remember who it was. But boy, did that raise a stink.
Well, and then what happened when DeSantis, who's a traitor, who's fake MAGA, but who's a traitor, started sending the guys up to fucking Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, Joe, did you hear about the riot in North Carolina in Charlotte, Mecklenburg?
No, actually, I didn't.
All right, well, let me fill you in. Today, there was a protest at an Eritrean cultural event, and North Carolina officers were they arrested eight people. After a 10-hour protest and standoff, it stemmed from an Eritrean cultural event. You had clashes between rival groups of Eritreans. I guess they're bringing their civil war here to the United States, and the officers are trying to disperse them, and they're attacking the cops.
Really?
And a big old riot out there in North Carolina, Charlotte, Mecklenburg.
I'm going to look into that right now. Wow. I didn't
they set a truck, a trailer on fire, and other fires.
Oh my God! Not the mobile home.
But it's mostly peaceful, right?
Yeah, it's mostly peaceful. Otherwise, yeah, mostly peaceful. Otherwise,
I completely lost what you were talking about. It's too funny. I'm sorry, I'm cracking up. It's North Carolina. What? Maybe, you know,
Charlotte, Mecklenburg. That's where it happened.
Two and a half hours from where I'm at.
I might look it up then. But, yeah, that's hilarious. I want to say something. I think it was Pianchi. You were saying something like China?
That is not how that's pronounced in the United States anymore. We have changed that word for definition purposes. It's called Batina. That's it, Batina. So.
China.
Hell.
Batina.
China.
Love you a long time.
San Francisco appointed a Chinese female to be ahead of their voters registration.
We have Chinese army moving into the country now any fucking way. That's a proven fact now. Y'all heard anything about that shit? These Chinese motherfuckers, they're fucking
lot
straight
of
up. They're groups.
Military age men coming across
the
border.
But they are military. They fucking are. Very much
and,
so.
And lest we forget, the Chinese have a law that if your Chinese government, if you're a Chinese citizen, approaches you anywhere in the world and demands that you conduct espionage activities on behalf of the Chinese Communist Party, you are obligated by Chinese law to obey any possibility of sanctions against your family.
Well, that's how China leapfrog ahead in their technology through espionage and other self-practices. Hell, we brought them in and trained them. You know, it don't make, you know, it's really ignorant you're going to train your own damn enemies.
Our government are experts at funding and training
sellout.
Our future enemies. It is absolutely insane how good our government is at that. I'm going to interrupt for just a moment because we have about 5.5 minutes left of the live broadcast. So if you're out there and you're listening and you want to continue on during the bonus hour, call in within the next 5.5 minutes, 563-999-3698. You have to be dialed into the switchboard in order to continue on for the bonus hour, so please do so within the next 5.5 minutes. With that said, please continue.
Hey, Sarge.
Yes, sir.
You know where Scott Air Force Base is, don't you?
Yeah, that's in
Illinois. Right around Carlisle, Illinois.
Well,
I've been there for every May.
18 miles from St. Louis.
Right.
18 miles from St. Louis.
Absolutely. Every year they have an air show.
Been there many times.
I used to go over there. When I was a kid. Take my daughter and kids over there to watch the air show. And they would park their planes, the jet fighters and the C-41s, and then on the runway for people to, you know, take a look at, and kids can climb up and look inside the cockpit of a F-15. But I noticed these little Japanese men all up underneath the plane taking pictures. Snap, snap, snap. Taking pictures of the landing gear. Well, that's what
they
do. When you see their strategic tactical fighters, what do they look like? They look like yours.
Yeah, they do, don't they? They really do.
Yeah,
then
this
Chinese fighter looks just like an F-35.
Yeah. You know, okay, let me bring up something real quick about that fucking balloon from China. I think it's hilarious. I found it very amusing. You know, that is such old technology. Are you fucking kidding me? A fucking balloon everybody can see?
No.
How the fuck are you hiding yourself?
You know what I recently read about that? Is the Biden administration didn't block communications from it. So that balloon
they probably invited it.
And they were connected to U.S. networks and then transmitting that information over to China. And the Biden administration did not block communications to it and allowed it to go all the way across the country, over military installations, taking all of their photos, collecting communication data, all on our own networks. And the Biden administration said, that's okay. You can do that. No problem. Don't block it. I mean, come on now. If that's not deliberate, I don't know what is.
They did shoot the balloon down, though. Listen. When they shot that balloon down, they got pissed off about it. So you fucked up our shit. You fucked up our shit, so here's what we need you to do. Biden, here's what we need to do to make it right with us. You done fucked up our shit. You open that gate just a little bit wider than that fucking board so we get some more people through there. So we'll call it even. You know what he did? So I there you go. We're in for a bad fucking day. I'm telling you, bad fucking day.
Yeah, but when they shot it down, it already served its purpose.
I mean, it was a spendable item anyway.
Yeah.
And already sold
Right. I was just joking, Sarge. I wasn't serious.
I know. But I'm just saying.
I would have taken my stance. I would have said, you know what? We're going to shoot that fucker down. If I was the governor of Montana, I would have said, fuck you, Biden. Fuck you, federal government. Fuck you, federal airspace.
How would you allow that? How would you allow that? Ever since Biden has been in fucking office, it's been like Piccadilly Circus in England. You know what I mean? You just don't know what you're going to see next. I mean,
it's better to ask for forgiveness after the fact than permission before the fact.
They got to air a National Guard. They can shoot it down very easily.
Yeah. And they should have, to be patriotic, protect the country, the people in it, you know, shit like that. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Nah, can't do that.
Yeah.
We're going to do something against it. That part, fuck that. Let's do something against it. And that's what the society we live in today. Our own people sell us fucking all the time. Look at it. Biden's American. Son's American. There's a bunch of other motherfuckers in there that have been busted for shit, too. They're Americans, too. Yeah. Yeah, sell us. Okay. I had to jump in to explain this other fucking part of this world that's coming to shit called financial, but they just announced today that fucking McDonald's is going to fucking skyrocket their prices in California. I mean, it is going to get fucking ugly.
But on the note that we were just talking about, imagine if every one of us here on the call were to be elected governors of ours. Imagine how much patriotic havoc we could create if we were all elected governors of our state.
All I can imagine is how much resistance we'd get while we're in office. I give you Donald John Trump.
I'd be assassinated.
The resistance would be over. The resistance, and that literally is what they call themselves, remember? The resistance against Donald Trump. They had a formal title. And lo and behold, were they ever resisting?
Yeah, we'd be in big trouble. We'd have to have some very serious security because the world elite bankers would definitely have some sort of assassination.
I'm not even saying they would necessarily want to assassinate us. Yeah, they might want to do that. But I'm talking about whatever we would try to do, they would put up some sort of roadblock in a way, probably through lawfare, through lawsuits and lawfare. That is the kind of resistance that bothers me more than the other kind. I can see an attack coming. I know how to deal with an attack. But this lawfare crap is a whole nother kettle of fish.
Yeah, well, I don't know, Sarge. Eight of us, nine of us? Come on, they would have serious. That'd be like going back in time, you know, changing things back to the Republic. That'd be a major threat to the globalists.
It doesn't matter if it's us. It doesn't matter with anybody with the ideologies and beliefs that we have will meet the same resistance. They don't want it. We are an existential threat to the fundamental transformation of the United States that Kenyon told us about in 2008.
Yeah, and I'm proud to be it, too. I'm proud to be part of that resistance.
Same here.
The funny thing is, we have nobody fighting to protect this country no more. Ain't that fucked up? You got the border wide open and nobody's stopping shit. I mean, back in the day, I believe they would be fighting a war over that. You know, motherfuckers trying to get on your side, you shoot them. That's how it used to be, I believe. But that don't work no more. That's not, you know, it's not humanitarian. Well, if you're told not to come across that line or you'll be fucking killed, it would be a pretty well self-explanatory fucking issue, now, wouldn't it? But that's not the deal.
The border has to be
sold out.
Yeah, we got to secure the border.
You know what? When I told people and I called Barack Obama Kenyan, they would say he wasn't born in Kenya. And I responded by saying, but under the citizenship laws of Kenya and the United Kingdom, Barack Obama was born a Kenyan and a British subject simultaneously. That's the law there. It's the law. He was born a Kenyan, whether he was born in Kenya or not. And nothing you can say is going to change that fact.
Well, Oh, you heard last night, as soon as you attacked Obama, what happened? What happened? Automatically it turned into, why Obama? Why you got to attack Obama? You know, the hero.
He's the hero.
Why? Because he's the one that's the puppet master behind Biden right now. That's why.
He's the precious.
Jesus.
He's my precious.
No, Obama
come in, he's my
is
precious.
Clearly the puppet master, you know, so of course he's still relevant.
Man.
They want to think that he's not relevant anymore, but he absolutely is.
He's the holy grail.
You can't tell me that he's just fully stepped away. No way.
He's like a saint. He's like an icon. I mean, that's why. I mean, I swear to God, man, it's like you're attacking a holy relic, you know, when you say anything bad about Obama. Obama, and even by extension, it's transferred to his wife. These are like holy people, almost. These are like people who are like the Mahatma. They're like the Buddha. They got holy just by being elected in the White House.
I know. Look at when Melania's mother passed away. How much, you know, outreach of empathy and support and condolences did the left give her? Like none. You
not
know what
much.
I mean?
Zero.
Not
I don't
much.
Remember any. I don't remember any encomium to Melania's mother.
It's like our former first lady just lost her mother, everybody, you know. It doesn't matter what your political opinion is, that when, you know, the mother of a former first lady passes away, you can at least go, I'm sorry, I feel bad for her. You know, she just lost her mom. That's sad. You know, condolences.
Nah,
at least, you know, show some
Laurie,
sort of fucking humanity. But
Laurie, she gave birth to Trump's Ava Brown. She doesn't deserve any sympathy.
Look, I sent two emails.
Yeah, that's
emails.
What they think.
I
that's
sent
just
two
how
emails.
Godless that they've become. It's like, you know, you want to think yourselves good people. You want to think that you're righteous and, you know, that you're creating change for good and all this other shit and you're so virtuous and yet, yeah, don't have any heart at all, you know, for a former first lady who, okay, you know, maybe you didn't like her. But nevertheless, I think anybody and everybody with a fucking heart who has any kind of, you know, any kind of spiritual, you know, kind of value, you know, can't go, hey, you know, that really sucks. You know, anybody that's ever lost their mother knows how much that sucks. And you can hate the person all you want, but at the same time go, you know what, I feel really bad for her. I know what that's like, you know. And I don't know what that's like yet. My mom, thank God, is still alive. And I don't care how much people might hate me, but I would hope that even my worst haters that hate every fucking thing I say on these shows, when the day comes I lose my mom, they will at least show some sliver of humanity toward me and go, you know what, I'm really sorry to hear about you losing your mom. You know what I mean? Could we, you know.
Well, I tell you what, Laurie-Ann.
That's a very
if
least.
Looking for that, if you're looking for that from them lefties, you might as well forget it. I'm telling you, from my experience. But anyway, I sent two emails, one to Senator Cassidy and one to Senator Kennedy, U.S. Senators for the state of Louisiana, and they read as such. I said, I am very disappointed with your support of the recent foreign aid bill for funding Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and Gaza. I would have better you would have given priority for the United States borders, particularly the southern border. I am not mad, just saddened.
Gotta
oh, yeah.
Vote them out.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's the thing, Tianqi. And I don't like my House Representative guy right now because he's a McCarthy guy. But I'll probably end up voting for him again, probably. But that's the point. You know, that's the point. You know, because he's with this
this new district, but this new fucking voting district, which is probably going to get appealed, that's cutting down the center of the state. They're taking away his district. His voting district.
Doesn't matter.
You know?
He voted for that bill. He's got to go.
Yeah. Well, this is a house guy. This is our my house guy. This is my house guy. But, yeah, my two senators, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know which one of them is running, is up to get reelected or elected again this year. Have to figure it out.
They all are up for reelection this year. The House of Representatives gets elected every 2 years. And
somebody's
that's the whole
having
house.
A little bit of a coughing thing.
No.
Over there.
No, this is.
Who's coughing?
No. I think you're conflating what I'm saying. I'm talking. My House member is up for reelection. My two senators, one of them is and one of them isn't. And
that's right.
I don't know which one is or isn't.
Oh, for the senators?
Yeah, the two senators.
Doesn't matter. Vote them all out. If they haven't talked about restoring the republic and haven't done anything, vote them out.
Right.
Yeah, vote but them out. That's that shot across the bow.
You've got these people that these judges and such that are so anti-Trump that it's not just when his mother-in-law died. Remember when Ivana died, they wanted him in that courtroom and he wanted to go to the funeral for Ivana Trump.
Yeah, they didn't want to excuse him for that. Like, what? How bad are you?
Right, and that's the thing, these people.
You're going to your mother-in-law's funeral? Too bad. You're still supposed to show up in court, motherfucker.
All judges are like that. All judges are like that. They're all assholes.
Yeah.
Who is coughing in the background? Sounds like somebody's not having a good time back there.
He probably flew over his house.
Are you okay?
He probably flew over his house and sprayed him.
Still recovering from being a little sick, so I will probably leave you pretty soon. So, but anyway, yeah.
I don't think it was you though. Was it you that was coughing?
That was me. Yes.
It sounded like the coughing was happening while you were talking, so I didn't think it was you.
Yeah.
I had that all last week.
hey, did you guys hear about that? Did you hear about that? Military vehicle collector in the United Kingdom. Who bought a Type 69 Chinese tank, which is a Chinese copy of the Soviet T-55 tank back in 2017. And when he was restoring it and rehabbing it, he found 5 gold bars worth $2.5 million in the gas tank. And like a good citizen, he turned it in. And guess what? They still haven't – the authorities – now, they knew it had been mined in Kuwait. And they knew it had been stolen by some Iraqi military people, and they stashed it in the gas tank of this here tank. And they either forgot about it or they weren't able to get back to it. It was sold as surplus. This collector in England got it, which, by the way, I keep telling people, most every country will allow, a free country, anyway, will allow you to buy a tank. I mean, it's not illegal on the automotive part of the tank. You just have to have the main gun either registered or deactivated. But anyway, he had it. He turned it in the authorities. They still haven't given him a finder's fee or anything. And now he says he wish he hadn't given it to him.
Yeah, I think here in the United States, isn't there like federal and or state laws that dictate like how long they can, you know, if you make a fine like that and then it's not claimed, doesn't matter what it is, doesn't have to be a gold bar. Find and you turn it in because you're doing the right thing. If it's not claimed within a certain amount of time, I think some states it might be, you know, 90 days. Some states might be 6 months.
No.
But if it's not claimed, then it's supposed to go to you, not to the state.
No, that is not how it works. No.
It was bought from an individual, bought from an auction, okay, that tank. So either way, okay, when it was sold to the next party, okay, it became theirs. All of it did. Everything in it, everything on it, everything about it. It belongs to them. I don't give a fuck what you found in it. You know what I mean? There are some good deals on that and some bad deals. Because here's one. Since you own the vehicle now, you own the contents. Okay? That's how it works. So anyway, if money was in it, all that, great. Drugs, you're fucked. Because if you buy a car that has drugs in it, you're going to get charged for the drugs. Because they're yours. You see what I mean? So it's you know, kind of good, kind of bad. But technically, him giving it up, I don't understand how that happened.
You want to
thoroughly
search your vehicle?
Well, remember, though, it's in the United Kingdom, so it might be
a
little different there.
It might have a different rule.
You have to register it within 30 days. You know,
remember, it's the United Kingdom.
I'm going to speak over you, Sarge, because I'm responding to what Ron Reck was saying.
The gold?
And I'm the
vehicle.
And you interrupted me. So, you know. Anyway, but if you buy a purchase a used car, you don't have to register it for at least 30 days in most states. And so before you register it and put it in your name, you know, and get the new title, you thoroughly search that fucker, you know, and anything you find then is not you. You just purchased it. It's not in your name yet. It's still in the name of the previous owner. And so if you find a you know, fucking stacks of heroin or fentanyl or some shit, you know, in the seats or whatever, then you turn it in, you cannot be charged. Okay,
well, that varies.
Sorry for interrupting you, Sarge, but I wanted to clarify
that. That varies, too, though. That's a big variance, too. But, yeah, you're right. The vehicle doesn't belong to you yet. But you do have possession of it.
Once you have possession, you're in control of it. You're in possession, you're in control.
But remember, though, we're talking about the United Kingdom here. This tank is in England.
Right. It might have different rules
apply.
I'm
talking about legal liability here. You know, they cannot charge you with it because, you haven't even changed it over yet. It's not in your name yet. You clearly just got it. You cannot be held responsible for something that you did not know was inside of it. You found it, and you turned it in. And so your legal liability, like, good fucking luck with that. Good fucking luck with charging
for a crime
or even a civil liability
claim
on it because, you know, just because you discovered it. That's all I'm saying. There's legal liability involved here.
If you got it home after you bought it and just say you didn't search it yet and then you decide to go search it, there's going to be some questions. You could still get charged.
You can be, and you have. It's like when you borrow somebody's car, and the cops pull you over, and a dog alerts on the drugs in the car, and they search the car for the drugs. I'm telling you, I've seen it. People have been charged. Now, you can make the – what you have to do in your defense at court, you have to make the argument to show that you had no knowledge of these drugs, and they, in fact, were not yours. The point of the matter is that they arrest you, they charge you, they get a grand jury indictment or whatever. You got to go to trial. You got to prove you're not innocent. You got to spend money for a lawyer. That's the way it is with some of these prosecutors and these jurisdictions.
Right.
To your point, Sarge, to everybody's point, think about it. And I'll make this point again, just like I did that night when that other guy called with the Hunter Biden laptop, all right? Hunter Biden takes his laptop. We don't know what was on there. Well, we know what was on there, but he takes it to his computer store, right, to get it, quote, fixed because maybe there's a virus, maybe from a porn site or whatever the fuck it is. But he takes it to get it fixed, okay? He makes the deal with the guy. He says, okay, I'm gonna sign this thing. I'm going to sign this receipt. I'm going to put my address, my phone number, my email address, this, all on this receipt and agreement that you're going to fix it and I'm going to come back and get it, right? Well, what happened? He didn't come back and get it, and after a certain amount of time, that computer became the ownership of the guy, the computer store guy. That's right. You know, so if you're going to be that stupid to not come back and get your thing from a guy, and it becomes that guy's, it becomes that person's, that person can go do whatever the hell he wants to do with it.
That's right.
You know?
But, you know, the, an example I just
exactly.
gave a moment ago, and you're right about what
I've
you
got
just
a
said.
Personal example of that.
Yeah, right. But an example I just gave, and you're right, by the way, about what you just said about the computer laptop. But an example I just gave is also what happens. If you got a clean record and you ain't never been in trouble with the law before and you demand a jury trial and you got a credible story, most prosecutors who are reasonable are going to take a look at it. Now, they're not going to want to give up everything. What they'll try to get you to do is get plea agreement in which you agree to a lesser offense, usually a misdemeanor, and it's agreed that after a certain amount of time on supervision or probation, they then vacate the conviction. They'll do this before, you know, as part of your plea bargain, and that way you're off the hook. But a lot of people say, no, I want a complete jury trial. I want to be completely vindicated. And oftentimes, if they know you got a good story, they know you got a good alibi, they know you got a clean record, they'll just back off and drop charges altogether. So I'm just saying, don't give up. If you know you're innocent, stick to your damn story and make that prosecutor work for it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
exactly.
$25,000 later.
It's got to be worth their time and the court's time because, you know what, judges are fucking busy. They have full schedules every goddamn minute that they're right?
So
if you're going to bring up some really frivolous case with hardly any evidence and the other person can come up and show X, Y, Z and make a really good argument, then the judge is going to be pissed off at the prosecutor for wasting their time. Like, why did you even fucking bring this to me? It was so clear and obvious that you had a shit case. Why did you waste my time with this? You know what I mean? Like, they get pissed off, too.
And to your point, Sarge, think about it this way. And I'll go back to the example with Fannie Willis. Fannie Willis got Jenna Ellis and Sidney Powell and what's his name, Cheeseboro, to take a plea deal, right?
Sure did.
Look at all the stuff that has come out since then. That, in my mind, all that stuff that comes out since then puts these plea deals in jeopardy. Possibly for going away, you know.
I tell you though, look, I can understand why they did it, because when you're confronted with the power of the state and the resources they got against you, that is one intimidating piece of shit. I'm telling you, that's one thing I hated about my job. That's one thing I hated about my job when I would see
that
disparity.
In legal terms, you know what you just described, what it's called? It's called coercion.
They're using the
power that they have to intimidate you and coerce you into agreeing to a plea deal, which
it's
is automatically illegally invalid because you were coerced into doing it. It's like holding a fucking gun to your head and, any agreement you sign with a literal, with a gun to your head is not valid. You're under duress. It's being coerced and therefore is legally invalid, and so plea deals go the same way, or at least they should, but they're not treated that way. It's like plea deals are the exception. Once you agree to it, it's like, hell cometh upon you if you try to back out of it.
And guys, think about this. What happened with Jenna Ellis when she come up and made her plea deal? They took her into that damn prison in Fulton County, and apparently at that point in time, they took her deep into that prison, and there was a damn riot going on. All right? So you can't tell me that that wasn't coercion.
Well, the state shouldn't be prosecuting anybody anyway. Well, who the hell's the state? You didn't commit no crime against the state. What are you talking about? It's unconstitutional.
Well, no. That's why they call the case of the people against so-and-so. The people of the state of so-and-so against you. That's why they claim it the way they do.
Who's the injured party? Who's the injured party, Sarge? The state?
The people. According to the charging indictment, it is the people of the state.
What people? I'm not injured. I don't want. I'm not
I'm
injured.
Telling
what are you talking
about? That is why they frame it the way they do.
Yeah, unconstitutional.
Yeah, you don't have the choice to drop charges. Remember, like TV shows and stuff from the past, where it's like, no, I'm gonna, you know, not charge this person for,
yeah,
you know, punching me in the bar. I admit I was being an asshole and I probably deserved it. I don't want to press charges. No, not here in Oregon. Or domestic violence or anything like that. So those cops see any evidence, it is the state that charges you, and the supposed victim has no choice. They can't say, you know, no, I want to drop the charges. It was dumb. It was stupid. Sorry that, you know, we wasted your time. No, it is the state that is charging you, not the person.
Yep, that's wrong.
Well, that is why they say that is why the term prosecutorial discretion exists, because prosecutors have a lot of latitude in deciding whether or not to charge someone.
That's wrong, Sarge. That's wrong. That's why the system is broken. It's not up to the state. It's up to the victim. It's up to the, you know, it's we the people, not the state. The state is, what's the state? Who is the state? The state confers no power. We the people have
the
power.
Obviously, in the case of a homicide, the state's going to have to act on behalf of the murdered victim.
Yeah, it's state execution that puts
them
to death.
I've got my own stories that I could tell on here, but we're still in recording. Which, by the way, I'm going to interrupt for just a second. Everybody that is on the line right now and just listening in the switchboard, Cinnamon, you've been just kicking back listening. Daniel, Kathy, you've been kicking back. Donnie, I see you. Then there is a Skype number. I bet it's John Doe, because John Doe is pretty notorious for just kicking back and listening. So I am going to bring you all on. I'm going to unmute you. If you don't want to talk, that's fine, but I want to unmute you before I forget to do so. Or if the switchboard shuts down early on me like it did a couple weeks ago, I want to unmute you on my end. Robert, you as well. I see you, Robert. So I'm going to unmute all of you. Just mute your phones on your end if you just want to kick back. But I want to unmute you in case you do want to chime in as we go into no man's land in about a half an hour. But Blog Talk, like I said, a couple weeks ago, ended the show on me, you know, or ended the, you know, no man's land on me out of nowhere. So, and shut me down early, and then I wasn't able to mute. So that's why I'm going to do it a little bit earlier now, like a half hour before I expect the switchboard to shut down. But you know how, you know, much of a teeter-totter it is with what Blog Talk decides to do, that it just makes sense to unmute everybody. And feel free to remind me a half hour or two before that happens to unmute people. So just take control of your own mute buttons. You all have them. Stay on mute on your end. I'm bringing you all on in. But if you do want to chime in, you are more than welcome to, and just unmute yourselves on your end. Like I said, you can take control of your mute button. We all have the capability. We all are smart enough. So I trust you. Anyway,
are you sure?
With that said, I think so. I hope so. Unless we get the snorer that loves to play, you know, loud YouTube videos in the background while they snore. Yes?
Okay, we got it. We got it. Okay, we got it.
Are you sure?
We got
it. You got
it. We got it, my friend. We got it.
You're speaking for everybody?
I'm speaking for you. The show will be over pretty soon.
I'm just making sure. Because it gets really annoying when somebody has YouTube playing in the background and they're
oh,
snoring.
No.
And it happens too many times. On
good
my
point.
Show
good
for
point.
Some reason.
Good point. Good point.
It's worth spending a couple minutes, like, reiterating, like, you know, don't do that.
Yeah, you're right. I'm wrong. You're right.
You're right, too, though. Like, I wish I didn't have to go on, but you have been on my show. How many times do you remember that happening on my show? And it always fucking happens on my show.
Yeah, it does.
I know you've been witness to it time and time again where it happens like, ah, fuck, here we go again. You know, and then I can't do anything. And it's so frustrating.
And it's loud as hell.
Well, that's what you get for getting that free upgrade.
Hey, you guys hear what happened to Mitch McConnell's sister-in-law?
No.
Well, Mitch McConnell's sister-in-law, Angela Chow, died last week in a so-called accident. She's Elaine Chow's sister, of course. Elaine Chow is Mitch's wife. And she was the CEO of a dry bulk company called the Foremost Group, which apparently has deep connections to the Chinese Communist Party. Now, she supposedly died in a tragic car accident when her car went into a pond on a private ranch located 40 miles outside of Austin, Texas. Now, I just leave that perusal. You can make of it what you will.
Did you say it happened at Chappaquiddick?
Chappaquiddick, Texas? Nah. It was Blanco County, Texas, near Austin, 40 miles outside of Austin, Texas. Yeah, I'm sure you'll speculate on that one. Like I said, that company she was the CEO of had deep ties to the Chinese Communist Party.
Well, we can see why old Turtle acts the way you do, huh?
you think?
Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
I don't think.
The enemy.
Oh, boy, our country is so screwed. We don't do something about it, it is so screwed. I swear to God, there's just too much money here, man. There's just too much opportunity. Money, and it's not money that causes, it's the love of money to the exclusion of everything more important, like honor, loyalty, a basic patriotism. You know, it just corrupts these people. And
Can you define those terms, please? Because I don't think anybody understands what any of those terms mean anymore because they've been so distorted over the last three to four years.
Well, you're right, Laura. It's kind of like trying to describe colors to blind people. You're right. I'm going to have to think about how to describe it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They don't get it. They don't get it, and they don't want to get it. Your first clue is when you ask somebody, what are your political leanings? And they're like, I don't really get into politics. I just want to live my life, and I don't get it. Like, those are the people that you really have to go, oh, God, you're going to be a lot of work, aren't you?
But yet and still, people like that somehow always seem to say they're going to vote for the Democrat.
Yeah.
That's one thing I've noticed very much.
Yeah.
They're not really into politics. And then when they ask them, who are you
going to
vote for? They're going to vote for the Democrat.
I'm not paying attention to anything politics or anything our government is doing, but I am going to get seriously pissed off, about not being able to vote. You know what I mean? Like, as libertarian as I am, and it goes against every libertarian instinct, but I'm starting to think, if we're going to have a competency test for driving a vehicle, maybe there should be a competency test if you're going to fucking vote. You know what I mean?
You mean go back to the Jim Crow laws?
Well,
yeah, they had competency
targeting just
did.
One race. It's targeting everybody. Like, you have to have at least a bare minimum political fucking awareness in order to vote. Like, if you're on the street and somebody walks up and says, who's the vice president of the United States right now? And they don't fucking know, you know?
Well, you know what I'd prefer?
We're
going to
require you to take a competency test.
Well, look, I would prefer that they understand that all spending bills have to originate in the House of Representatives. I would prefer that they understand the concept of separation of powers. I would prefer that they understand what federalism is. Now, if they understand all that stuff, I'll put the politics second, even though they should understand politics too. But if they understand the first three things, that'd get them a long way to knowing who they should be voting for.
Well, yeah, that's a bare minimum. Those three things that you just said are the bare minimum. Like, if you can't conceptualize these three things, then please don't vote. You know?
Well, you have to add.
If you don't care, then don't fucking vote. If
you
don't care that fucking bad, don't vote.
Add one more to that. How many stars is on the flag, the United States flag?
I don't know. 54? Literally, there are some people that have said that. 54. No.
No, it's 57.
Yeah. No, it's 60.
I stand
Remember
corrected.
He said he had 57 more to visit because he'd already visited three.
Right.
I'm not kidding. He did.
In fact. Yeah. Yeah. That's a sign of, like, no, don't fucking vote. If.
No, wait a minute. I got that backwards. He said he's been to 57 states, and he had three more to go. That's what he said. Now I remember. Yep, 57 states with three more to go. I don't know if this is new math or not, but last time I checked, 57 plus 3 is, let me check, 60. Yeah, 60. Right, 60. Yeah.
Where's the protest in front of the judges from New York and also the one there in Atlanta? Like they protested Clarence Thomas and Kavanaugh. Why come they're not marching in front of their houses?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because racism or something? That's a standard answer to everything. I mean, why not?
Racism.
Gotta be racism.
If you can't answer why something, just say racism. And everybody will be like, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Racist for fucking ass. I just, God, you know, I'm going to be 51 next month. And I'm so sick of it. So fucking sick of it. Like, why isn't everybody just so sick of this race fucking bullshit? And just be done, you know? Just fucking be done. Be done with the race fucking bullshit, you know? We have bigger enemies than each other. You know, we have way bigger enemies than each other that we need to be focused on.
It's too valuable an asset to give up. It's like asking nations to give up the nuclear bomb. They're just not going to do it. It's like the Armageddon weapon. You know, when everything else fails and you're losing about everything, you're losing on every front, just throw in racism. And at least put them at bay for a little while.
Yeah.
They know, wait a minute. Oh,
now,
no, I'm not really a racist. I swear, I promise, I'm not really a racist.
You're transphobic. That's even worse thing now.
That's gaining ascendancy.
Is like minuscule now. Now you're transphobic. That's even worse.
Yeah, that's gaining ascendancy now. It's starting to compete with racism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, God, you see this bizarrety going on. That's why I headed the show the way I did. you know, the title of tonight's show, Corruption of Liberty, sure gets exhausting. Doesn't it get fucking exhausting? All this shit,
well,
we see it.
Yeah, but I'm surprised that you haven't spoken about this new information about John Brennan and the CIA concocting a plan to spy on Trump people. I mean, they start with Trump. They can do the same plan with anybody they want to get rid of.
Yeah, Obama and Hillary said that shit was Russian collusion, you know, Russian interference, when all the while now it's come out finally, which we all already fucking knew, that this was Obama and Hillary financing that shit. They were fucking behind it.
But wait a minute. It's even more elegant. It's an even more elegant scheme than that. Here's the way it works.
Yeah, but we have
John Brennan.
It's like, what the?
Yeah, well, John Brennan John Brennan, Obama, Biden, Hillary, et al., what they did was they went to all the English-speaking intelligence services, the Five Eyes, New Zealand, Great Britain, Australia, Canada, and the United States, and they got them to plant information about Russian spies and Russian collusion in the Trump campaign. And then they used that information to feed it to the news media that repeated it, unquestioningly, and that served as the basis to justify the FBI getting it into investigation. See how beautiful that is?
It was so well planned, but it's like it was so well planned, except that they made it so obvious how well planned it was, right? Like, that was their mistake, was, like, they forgot to, like, not make it so fucking obvious.
but that's just it, though. They had a cutout. The news media. See, they made sure it got farmed to the media. The news media reported it, and that served as the basis for the FBI to launch investigation.
Yeah, the media, the mass media right now are nothing but mockingjays for the government, the World Health Organization, the World Economic Forum, you know, all of that stuff. I mean, it's the Vanguard, it's the BlackRock, it's the, you know, all of it. All of it is behind all this shit. They are funding all of this shit to manipulate the masses. And they're doing an excellent fucking job of it. And it really sucks when you see through it, like we do, like most of us on this call do, you know. All of us, you know, I think all of us on this call do. We see this, you know, masquerade going on and so many people falling for it and not knowing, you know, not even aware of how fucking insane these people are, you know. These people saying this shit, that this is their true intent, and people will be like, no, it's conspiracy theory. What really happened? Come on.
Oh, no, but they're not insane, at least not the ones who make up this stuff, engineer it. They're just coldly, ruthlessly, demonically evil. It's their fellow travelers who mindlessly repeat the bumper sticker slogans that they wound up engendering. That is a crazy one. They're rational. They're coldly rational in their ruthlessness.
Sarge, what do you think happened if you was a motorist was locked up and they took his possessions, his money, his wallet, and counted his money and everything? And in his wallet, he had a 1934 Glover Cleveland $1,000 bill.
Oh, yeah? Well, that's his property. They're supposed to inventory it.
And when they gave him his inventory back, they wrote a check for $1,000 and kept the $1,000 bill.
I think he'd have a case to make that he was robbed. You know,
went to the bank.
They're supposed to describe particularly the things that are on that they seize if they have unique identifiers. I mean, it's one thing to take a quarter. You don't have to say, okay, it's a quarter with a scratch in the upper right quadrant near the left wing of the eagle. You don't have to do that. But if it's something that's unique, like a $1,000 bill, Grover Cleveland $1,000 bill, now that's something you got to identify particularly.
Well, see, this is a town called Pine Line, a black city outside of St. Louis. Known for corruption.
Well,
Adrian Wright, the mayor, went to the bank and withdrew 10 $100 bills and gave them to the bank, not the bank, but the where they keep the prisoners' money, and replaced it for the $1,000 bill.
Well, that isn't the property that they seized. What if that was an issue to come up in a court of law or something? They're going to submit the 10 $100 bills as the evidence that they no longer have or they've done something else with? No. You got to have the original item. Who knows? That might have been stolen or something. It might be something that would come up as evidence in another case. You got to give exactly what's there.
The $1,934,000 Lower Cleveland portrait bill was worth between $1,300 and $3,500, according to collectors.
That's about right, yeah. Yeah.
It goes to show
that's
you,
why,
man, corruption
that's
is
why
everything.
That's why they took something from him. They cheated him out of $350 worth of property. They didn't give him back equal value. I mean, money is only worth what it pays for. In a Grover Cleveland 1934 Grover Cleveland $1,000 bill will buy $1,350 worth of value, not just $1,000. Yeah, that sounds like some Tiffany Henyard stuff. God, that woman is crazy. Have you seen the videos of that woman? That woman is a raving lunatic.
Which woman?
Tiffany Henyard, the mayor in Dalton, Illinois. Have you seen her? Have you read about her? She is over the top. It's almost like some kind of cartoon, some kind of parody cartoon of an out-of-control lunatic, crazy woman mayor. I mean, she acts more like
I have to
look
into that.
Out in a mayor.
I haven't.
They pay her $260,000 a year, her salary.
What the fuck?
And what did she do to rig the salary for future mayor?
Are you telling me that I could fuck up on a level like that and be paid that much before I get fired?
But wait a minute, you don't know what she did to get that money. What she did to get that money is even more amazing. What she did was she bullied.
I wonder why I'm poor.
She bullied the city council in the giving of the money, and then she got them to pass another law saying that her successor could only get $74,000 a year. I'm not kidding.
Oh my God!
You gotta see this one. You will not believe what she's getting away with.
I'm not only gonna punch you in the face, but I'm gonna fucking cut your balls off before I go. Like that. Oh, wow.
You've got to look
wow.
up this woman. You will not believe what you find.
Fuck. I'm sorry.
That's not even
on
the worst thing she's doing.
Decent women out there, I'm sorry.
That's
she's
not even
the
worst
example,
thing she's
but...
doing. She's doing things crazier than that.
And, you know, if people really look, there's probably other – it's almost like, you know what, last night before I was going to bed and I was thinking, like, you know who really makes, like, a lot of money in this world now, you know, who is successful? It's like a matter of the degree in which you're willing to screw over other people. The more sociopathic you are, you know, like you screw over other people and you're emotionless about it. You know, you have a complete detachment of any kind of emotional guilt or shame or anything, you know, or regret, nothing. You're incapable of it. That's a sociopath. The more sociopath you are, the more successful you are. And if you look around at someone like the biggest, most, you know, richest people that, you know, like BlackRock and like we mentioned before, Vanguard and, you know, the Rockefeller Foundation, holy fuck, you know, we could go on for hours about that. Nevertheless, that's the influence that they have, not just on our country, but globally. And it's all conspiracy theory. We're crazy for connecting these fucking dots and go like, these are the fucking puppet masters, man. And if you don't sign on for it, you're not going to succeed. You know, you're going to be, I just read, I believe it's Virginia. Over the past year, they have lost 4,700 local small farmers that have been forced to sell their farms. And, of course, that ship's being bought up by corporations. Go figure. Go figure. Not an accident. Not just one state. It's happening all over. That's a lot of farms to lose in 1 year. That's got to be deliberate. You know, they are being priced out. The local farmer is being priced out.
I'm still on, right? So we still got people on?
Coming in loud and clear.
Hello? Okay.
Well, you'd be fascinated to know that the Ukrainians, hey, the Ukrainians are about to win the war. You know what had just happened with Ukraine? The mighty nation
of
Denmark.
Yeah, they just gave up a major city that Russia took over, or...
Oh, no, 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 oh, yeah, that's old news. This is new. The mighty nation of Denmark has pledged its entire artillery stock to Ukraine, all 500 rounds of artillery.
Are you fucking kidding me? Whoa.
Look, the Danish Prime Minister, Mette Frederiksen, said... During the Munich Security Conference in Germany, from the Danish side, we decided to donate our entire artillery.
Why not?
Wow.
By the way, their defense minister is a woman. You can make of it
what
you will.
That is monumentally stupid. Oh, my God. That is monumentally stupid. Oh, my God.
She's a woman, so I don't know if that's got anything to do with it. But I ain't never heard nobody say nothing like that before in history.
Hey,
they
can have
all
their
artillery
to
another nation.
This woman, no. Being a woman, no. Don't blame it on that. Because there's a lot of women like me that be like, oh, fuck, no. We would not do that. No.
Oh, man, I swear to God. It gets crazier every day.
There's got to be a reason why. Somebody has got to be backing them up. You know, maybe their ship's going to be resupplied by somebody. Maybe they made a deal with another neighboring country to, like, you know, resupply them after they donate what they got. And then now we get all new shit. Maybe that's kind of what's going on in the background.
Maybe.
You know,
I don't know.
You got all this new shit. You know, okay, we're going to sell off our current shit. Here you go, Ukraine. Here's everything we fucking got, and now we're going to get all new shit. We're renovating the whole fucking thing, you know?
But I tell you, Lori, but somehow I just don't see...
We're tearing down the old houses, and we're building all new ones, you know?
Yeah, but I just don't see the mighty nation of Denmark having more than a few batteries of artillery. I just don't see it. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
But I don't think they
you'd
do have that much to give.
You'd be surprised. You'd be kind of surprised. They got skin in the game, too. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, but there's a lot of NATO countries between them and Russia in case Russia gets frisky.
Yeah, but they are small, and if one of their bigger neighbors gets corrupted, let's say Finland gets corrupted, because they're bordering Russia.
Right.
And, you know what I mean? That would be huge in that area. That would be fucking huge. If the Russians were to take over Finland, oh, fuck. You know, Sweden, Norway,
Denmark. I mean, all of that shit along that whole stretch would be a big threat, because the Russians could come in from the north, you know, along their border, and then come south. I mean, yeah. Not to mention the waterways, you know, the access. Yeah. Oh man, that would not be a good situation. So if Russia were to gain control of Finland, that would be a huge, huge, holy fuck, you know.
Well, they'd have to go through either Sweden or Norway. They'd have to go through, or coming from the east, they'd have to go through Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, or
mm-hmm.
Poland. So that'd be a lot of countries, NATO countries, they have to get past.
But, you know,
Sarge,
that's why Finland and Sweden want to be part of NATO now. But that's also what's aggravating Russia, because they had agreed previously not to join NATO because they're, you know, so close in borders with Russia. And so it's just pissing Russia off even more for Sweden and Finland to be incorporated into NATO. That's a direct threat to Russia. You know, and that's not to support Putin, but from a, you know, it doesn't matter who's in the fucking driver's seat as far as Putin or anybody else, when they're both violating their agreements where they would not join NATO and not have bases, you know, along that long border of Finland and then Sweden and then, you know, Norway and stuff. That's a, you know, that can be, you know, hey, strategically speaking, that puts you at a disadvantage, you know, and they're going against their agreement. So, from the Russian standpoint, I think they have a legitimate case there, you know, where like, no, you guys agreed not to do this, and now you're joining NATO, and now you're becoming a direct threat to us when we have this huge fucking border. You know, the border in Finland and Russia is, what is it, like 850 miles of border?
Yeah.
Between Russia and Finland?
Right. But Russia did get the Karelian Isthmus after World War II, and that was a big thing they really wanted, because that corridor is critical for strategic purposes. And they got the Karelian Isthmus, and that kind of tamped down their concerns about Finland for a long time.
Yeah, but now Finland has been blocking migration. They've been closing the border to Russia. They've been doing it for months, and they've extended it till April. Finland has, against Russian immigration, because Russia has been sending so many migrants from, like, you know, Africa and Asian countries and shit beyond their capacity that, you know, they have shut down their border to Russia. Anybody, you know, immigrant status, if you're not a fucking citizen, no, you know, you're not gaining entry. You'll be here illegally. They're doing that with Russia. So, you know, and Russia can perceive that as being a, you know, fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, there's this, like, where everybody's, like, focused on, I think maybe that's part of the distraction, you know, the cabal that controls the narrative. Is like for us not to pay attention to what's going on there. Because if you think about it, way in that North Pole, I mean, Norway, Sweden, Finland, Denmark, that whole area for Russia is very accessible. It's north, you know, so it's seasonal. You know, you don't want to go fucking through there in January. But, you know, it's a shorter distance. You can gain access to the Scandinavian countries, you can gain access to Canada, you can, you know, gain access to the U.S., you know, because way up there at the tip of the North Pole, you know, you can, there's a smaller area to circle around to get to these different areas.
Yeah, Arctic Circle. But, you know, but the, Denmark fell to the Germans in one day. I think they kind of learned their lessons from that. In one day, less than one day, the Germans had conquered and started to occupy Denmark.
Yep. Hey, but Sarge.
Yeah.
You gotta realize and remember one thing, okay?
What?
Denmark gave 500 rounds of ammunition. Okay, their stockpile. But the other thing that you didn't take into account was that Denmark has access to thousands and thousands and thousands of rounds of ammunition from NATO.
True. But aren't they supposed to be giving that to Ukraine? How come they're not giving it to Ukraine? They're complaining about this short of artillery and ammo of all types.
Well, I don't know.
That's what they said.
No, this is a great way for funding. This is a great thing. It's like a sell-off of your old junk. You're having a garage sale, and Ukraine is in this fucking war, and, like, you can politically go, yeah, we're supporting Ukraine. We're giving them all this ammunition. But it's all our old junk. You're having basically a big fucking yard sale, and then you're going to ask the government for more money, and you're going to be granted it to, you know, refill your stockpiles with upgraded new shit, you know. So all of these military budgets, it's not just, like, this threat in the Middle East is pumping up the defense budgets for all of the fucking countries, right? They're like, okay, yeah, we need to up our military. And so it's not just us. Like, other countries are doing the same. Like, yep, we're going to fund more, you know, military spending to, you know, develop and recruit more and shit like that. And so, like, the whole fucking war machine is going on, and guess who's benefiting? You know what I mean? Like, this is exactly what they want. The bankers are going to fund both sides. You know what I mean? Like, you know, sell weapons to whoever you want. You know, the more weapons selling, the better, because that's bigger checks and bigger loans and more interest and more profit.
Well, they said one of the main reasons they had to withdraw from Avdiivka was the fact they were running out of ammo. They repeatedly said that over and over again. So I guess Denmark says, well, we can get rid of our old stuff and get some new stuff from NATO or somebody else. I don't know. But they can't have that much artillery to give to the Ukrainians. I mean, it's probably an hour's worth of artillery supply, considering the expenditure of 155-millimeter howitzer ammo they're using. They're using that more than anything else. That is the backbone of the artillery round on both sides. And it is going through that like rain from the skies.
But see, the problem that you're not realizing is people don't think about it as much as you do. They're like, they just see that and go, oh, what a good thing. Okay.
You
don't question
well,
it at all.
You should have, hey.
How beautiful.
You should have watched all the 747s coming out of South Korea loaded down with artillery piece shells, ammunition.
Yeah, ours that we're running short on, last time I heard.
Yeah.
Our generals are complaining about we're running short of stockpiles of our 155-millimeter artillery ammo. And their daily rate of artillery expenditure is horrific. It's off the charts. They're fighting an artillery war over there right now. Drones and artillery. And that's why there's such a stalemate. Plus, the muddy season is about to start soon. What they call it, the Rasputitsa. And that puts everything to a halt over there. I mean, your armored vehicles can't move. Even the infantry finds it hard to move. So everybody's going to be a great target for artillery.
Sorry. It's funny. I'm walking around and I'm like, where the hell did they put my phone down? I was listening, but I wanted to comment. And then, no, I forgot what I wanted to comment on because I was too busy trying to find wherever the hell I laid my phone down.
Well, think military industrial complex, and it'll probably come to you.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's what started the whole conversation about that. Yeah, I mean, like, this is a military dream. Our DOD, you know, I mean, I cannot reiterate enough how people aren't thinking about the fact that we keep increasing the budget for our DOD, even though they are the only federal agency that can get a sailing grade 6 years in a row on their, you know, fiscal reporting and shit like that, right? They're failing their audits. And yet their budget keeps getting increased. And then even a conservative, here's the thing, even a conservative said, well, that's, you know, the DOD funds the Department of Veterans Affairs. And then I pointed out, no, you're incorrect. Actually, those are two separate budgets. The Department of Veteran Affairs is separate. It does not It is not funded from the DOD budget.
It's a separate agency.
So you are wrong in that. You know, I'm like, this is strictly DOD. And, you know, they had like a $40 billion increase, even though for 6 years in a row they failed their audits. I mean, a tune of at least $2 trillion, if not more by now. That cannot be accounted for. They can't fucking account for it. And yet we continue to increase their budget. Why do you think that is? You know, and then going back to the start of the show, yet we're funding this shit and they're poisoning us with fucking aluminum-coated fucking fiberglass.
Well, look, the Director of Veterans Affairs does not answer to the Secretary of Defense. He's his own cabinet official. He runs his own department.
They are completely separate. But yeah, it was a conservative that was trying to tell me that Veteran Affairs is funded by DOD and that's part of the budget. And I said, no, you're fucking wrong about that.
No, not at all.
I had to point that out. Like, no, you are fucking wrong. No, they are two separate fucking ordeals. You know, the DOD budget has nothing to do with veterans. You know, that's a whole separate deal.
Not a bit. Definitely not. The only person the Director of Veteran Affairs answers to directly is the president. He's a cabinet official.
Yeah, but, you know,
I mean,
like,
he's in line of succession.
Even though he was wrong, you got to look at why he was wrong, right? Why was he wrong? Why was he under that impression?
I guess
somewhere,
because
somehow, people are under the impression that Veteran Affairs is funded by the DOD. And that's, like, one of the reasons why, you know, like, well, you can't cut the budget to the DOD, even though they failed the audits, because they fund, you know, Veterans Affairs. We'd be cutting the budget of veterans. That's the misconception. That's the lie, and people believe it.
Yeah.
Get what I mean?
Well, that's why they separated, because they didn't want the two to be intermingled. They wanted to be separate. Because, you know,
exactly.
I mean, they didn't want the Department of Defense to have influence in directly over the Department of Veterans Affairs, nor should it be. I mean, you want everybody in the Department of Defense to be answerable to the Secretary of Defense. And Veterans Affairs is about veterans who are out of the armed forces.
Yeah. They are no longer serving. The Department of Defense is for people who are serving in the military.
Precisely.
Their
it
budget.
Makes sense.
You know, Veterans Affairs is, okay, you served in the military, and, you know, we're the department that helps take care of you or take care of whatever for you after you've served. You know, they have two very distinct purposes. You're right. Exactly.
Exactly. I mean, like, that's why I was just so goddamn irritated about the fact that Secretary of Defense absented himself from his post for days, and ain't suffering no consequences for it. Because Joe Biden is his boss, he's addle-brained, and the people that run him didn't think it would be a good idea to get rid of the first black Secretary of Defense. I don't know. I can't explain it any other way.
I don't know. Maybe it's a catch-22 kind of thing. You know, like, when we say, like, we have a right to our own, you know, health stuff, if we have health stuff going on that we don't want to disclose personally yet for whatever reason, maybe there's personal reasons, even though you're functioning in a role for government, but you're still your own person. If you have your own personal reasons why you can't come out with this, like, yeah, that you're in the hospital and you're being treated for this, you know, you got to gauge that too. Like, maybe there's more going on here. And, like, where does your personal right not to disclose your medical shit, you know what I mean? Where does that factor in, even though you're basically a servant of the government? And yeah, maybe, you know, we can, you know, all we can do is question why. You know, it's like, do they have the right to do that under certain bigger questions? Yeah, you know, was it right for him to step aside and be completely absent and MIA? Not a good quality overall, but if there's legitimate reasons, then maybe we need to examine, you know, like, you know, do we judge him wrongly, even if his reasons were justified for personal reasons?
No one required him to give any specific details about why he was absent. They only required to tell him that he was going to be absent. It's like calling in sick on a job. You ain't got to tell him why you're calling in sick. You're calling in sick. All he had to do is, I'm going to be absent. So in case the National Command Authority needs to be invoked because of a crisis, you turn it over to the Deputy Secretary of Defense until I get back. They don't have to tell him. You don't have to go into no details.
Well, let me ask this question.
Very true.
When he was absent or missing, supposedly, you know, the story was that he was in the hospital at Walter Reed. Okay, so. Are we really positively, without any doubt in our minds, that he was actually at Walter Reed in the hospital?
Well, the official story from the White House was they did not know about it at all or where he was. That was the official story from the White House.
Well, I understand
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like nobody was responding, like not even a secretary to
right.
say, you know,
they didn't know
hey,
if
yeah,
there.
There's, you know.
Well,
personal,
they didn't know,
you know,
Walter Reed.
Personal reasons,
they didn't know anything about
where
about.
That's all they would have to say.
You could have been kidnapped for all they know.
And that's what I used to say. It's a great catch-all, you know. He's unavailable at the moment, you know, so... blah, 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 and not really get into why. Yeah.
For all they knew, he could have been kidnapped for all they knew.
Been there.
All right, it was the most astonishing story I've ever seen from a four-star general. Former. He wouldn't put up with that from a private E2.
Also, very good point. I guess I'm just trying to understand, like, why he would do such a monumentally stupid thing.
There's no reason for it. None.
At least to explain why. You know, maybe if we understand why, that takes away a little bit of the anger, you know. I think part of the anger is, like, not understanding why somebody like that would do that. And if we can understand why, then that will kind of dissipate some of the anger about it. Like, okay, well, at least I understand why. It still kind of pisses me off, but at least I understand why. It's even worse if I don't fucking understand why. Yeah.
It's inexcusable. There's no accountable reason for a man in that position to not. I mean, because you do realize that in an emergency, there are certain things that can only be invoked with his consent and say so. The wheels grind to a stop like a bottleneck if he can't be involved because he can't be found. I mean, there's no way I could excuse anything like that.
Well,
I never forget when I got chewed out for. I remember when I got chewed out because I missed a phone call when I was charged of quarters, and I had a good excuse for missing the phone call. I had to go break up a fight, and I got back, and the officer of the day came in and chewed my ass off. Wanting this, you're supposed to get the phone call no matter what. What if the balloon goes up and the Soviets come through to pull the gap? You got to get the company alerted to get moving. until we get the command people here. That's your job, Sergeant. He chewed my ass out up one day. The only reason I missed the goddamn car because I had to break up a fight right outside the office. This guy's gone for 96 hours. I still can't get over that. There ain't nothing that's ever going to let me go. What all I got to do is tell me, look, I'm going to be indisposed. He didn't have to tell him it was a medical reason. He said, I'm going to be indisposed for a few days. Tell the deputy secretary of defense to take over. Here's what she needs to know. Boom. That's it. He's absolved the responsibility to get back.
Absolutely not